Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk. You know, that talk show that is made for men, by men, and not even ladies will want to miss it. Even if we discuss the most politically incorrect social challenges our country or our planet faces, we are the talk show that was made in the face of decades of men listening to women define life, love, and relationships for both men and women. They even defined manhood. And it seems many men have succumbed to a woman's definition of whatever it means to be a man. They've succumbed to this notion that we are actually equal and we can do the same things. I had a woman get into the whole Bill of Rights of all men were created equal, and biologically, neurochemically, we just are not. So we've got some challenges happening in our nation. And some of these challenges may not have the best future for man or woman. And to discuss them, I guess, sometimes can be considered politically incorrect if we are to honestly address them. Lettuce está. Let us eat. Let us eat salad. Thanks for joining. And I often like to do these live streams. I like to share my screen so you can see where I'm coming from, and I'm not just making things up and throwing things out there like propaganda. I love facts, statistics. I love to look at research from other people and get other perspectives, give mine. I like to also invite people into the conversation. So if you'd like to call in, the phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. So you know, we live in a society. What's going on, SW? Okay, yep. Love when you show up, man. This conversation can even be challenging for men because there have been a number of changes that have taken place, and it's like it's almost been like this quiet, invisible hand that's moving and shaping things, and too many men are being spectators in this. Almost like it's happening so fast they can't do anything about it. You know, there are many reasons. Why is this happening? Yeah, thanks for the acknowledgement. Lettuce and salad. Lettuce eat salad, sorry. Why does this happen? Is it in anyone's best interest? So our topic for tonight, can civilization survive without men? And I've kind of been addressing this over the course of a month. And part of it, my concern is there are so many guys who are talking about, who are telling women all the things they can do to be appealing to a man. And basically, they're creating parrots. I mean, women are saying, well, I'm feminine and I'm fit and I'm friendly, and that's all it's going to take. But there are so many reverberating consequences. Like, there's something called system dynamics. And system dynamics looks at everything. It looks at things as an ecosystem. It can look at a school system, a company. It can look at a community or a nation or a planet. And in the ecosystem, there are levers, and you can make changes. You pull a lever, and you make changes. And that change can have lasting effects, and some of them you just never saw coming. And it seems like that's what we're dealing with. And it's no one's saying, hey, put on the brakes because this isn't going down the path that we want, even though we see it. So I'm going to show a few videos and read some articles and let's talk about, so, you know, I think we can all, and especially after I read the articles and show the videos, I think it'll be easy for us all to see that there are consequences if we stay on this path. And technically, no one's going to win. Right? If it thrives on emotions, then we're in trouble because other countries are not going to run themselves that way. Yeah, SW, that's, you know, I can come on and say, you know, women need to be friendly and guys need to learn how to pick up. So I'm going to say something that probably a lot of people, even men, won't like, is that game is for girls and power is for men. And when men give up their power, what happens to the nation? You know, and I'm going to even look at some nations that were truly powerful and how did they run? How did they operate? Yeah. Prosperity without truth. Yeah, no, but PJ, if it thrives off of emotions, that will be troubling because I'm going to show, you know, what some other countries are doing to make sure they're not running on emotions. That's like running on fumes instead of having gas in your car or nitrous if you really want some power. So, you know, there's lots we can say about chaos. But men can actually have power in the face of chaos. Chaos is not necessarily something to run from. And that's part of what I've been getting at. I know a lot of guys see this all as chaotic. And, you know, I mentioned system dynamics where you have an ecosystem and you pull one lever and you make a change and something else happens. And down the line, you didn't expect that to happen and it negatively impacts you. You know, you can take child labor, right? If you take away child labor laws and have children going back into the coal mines, that what is that set up for those children in the future, right? Their children work in the coal mines and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. And you have people who are uneducated and they work in dangerous jobs and they can be exploited. They've been in the coal mine since 7 years old and, you know, it's easy to exploit those people and those people end up in a bad situation because we didn't look far down, that we let the people remain uneducated for so long. So there are many consequences that can happen, and feminism has its consequences. So I'm going to drop a link for the YouTube live stream. Love to hear your thoughts. And then I'm going to share a couple of videos and there's an article. I'm not going to read all of it, but there's some, I dropped the links already in the description. It's just good to hear these healthy perspectives. Yeah, they want to jump. Right, no structure, no accountability, and there'd be no bridges, no roads, no manufacturing facilities because you have to mine iron ore and copper and other metals, and who's going to do the heavy lifting for the food? What's going on, Justin? This is the life. Thanks for joining. So, can civilization survive without men? I mean, is that what women really want? Before the pandemic, 51% of the workforce was made up of women. And without the pandemic, that number would have climbed far beyond 51 and 55 and 60%. What happens when it's 70, 75? You know, it's like round and round you go. Where it stopped, no one knows. So does that mean women wanted to take it to 90% women in the workforce? I mean, what happens? What do we do with men? What are the consequences, like these incidental consequences of taking men out the workforce and doing what, building homeless shelters? Like, what's really going on in our society? I mean, we're even defying, you know, we almost don't even have to figure this out, right? So I had thoughts about this show, and my thoughts went like this. Through feminism, we're told men and women are equal. In fact, feminists believe if there are differences, it's the result of social conditioning. They don't believe there are biological differences between men and women. And as women attempt to change social conditioning and replicate all that men have accomplished, they fail. If you doubt me, count the amount of civilizations women-only societies have built. How many societies have been built by women only? Count the amount of female-only Fortune 500 companies that exist. Because they haven't been able to accomplish what men have, their next strategy is to hate men and claim masculinity is toxic. And that's where we are now. At the same time, if we acknowledge and honor the differences nature made between men and women, we would perfectly complement one another. If, on the other hand, we extinguish masculinity, what would happen to society? According to feminist Camille Paglia, without masculinity, she says women would still be living in grass huts. If we continue to demean men for being masculine, the consequences will be more than what women can stomach. While diminished and displaced men can lead to substance and alcohol abuse, suicides, homelessness, the exponential increase in violent crime will be something women will not be able to stop. So if you displace men and say, we don't need you anymore, I mean, what do you do? You're going to put all men in the military? That's a hell of a budget. I don't think women want to pay that tax structure. They'll have no money left to shop. So we're asking, can civilization survive without men? Is civilization safe without masculinity? So if we feminize all men, will our society be safe? So I had these thoughts about a very successful civilization, and from what I've seen, the most successful civilization was the Mongolians under Genghis Khan, and they had a philosophy. And I say they were successful because people think the Mongolians just went out and conquered and destroyed and killed people. But what Genghis Khan did was he declared war on people who were oppressing individuals in a city because of their religion. There were merchants who were not warriors. Those merchants traveled their trade routes, and there were robbers and murderers who would rob them. So they asked Genghis Khan to step in and make the trade routes safe, and he did that. And just as a side note, he had a 90,000-person army. Before he would go to war, he'd have a meeting with 90,000 men in the military and all the people in the village. And before he would go to war, he would make sure everyone was aligned and wanted to do it before they did that. What's going on, Sean Hensley? Thanks for joining. So they had a philosophy. The Mongolians operated this way. The men eat first, and they eat the best of everything. And if the village is attacked by surprise, the men would take off on the best horses and head for the hills and leave, because Genghis Khan said it takes 18 years to make a soldier. So if we're not prepared for a surprise attack and we try to fight, I'm going to lose a lot of soldiers, and it's going to take me forever to replace them. So Think about it. The men ate first. They ate the best of everything. And if they were attacked, they took off and they left. And that literally happened. They were attacked. Genghis Khan and his soldiers took off. And they took his wife and children. They took all the women. And he went and created an agreement with another tribe and went back and got his wife and all, you know, all the people in his village. And he destroyed that tribe for attacking them so that they would never do it again. So men had to be taken care of in the Mongolian Empire. For the men to take care of the village, the women had to take care of them. What we've done is reverse that. And we put women first. And we'll feed men scraps. We'll displace men in a workforce. We will demean men and say men are worthless. So we'll starve, punish, and deprive men of jobs, food, and opportunity just in the name of to have quotas. There's an article I'll read, and it talks about how we abandoned a meritocracy, which is what Genghis Khan had. He had a society that was, you know, you move up the ladder in the military or anything because you're a great performer. You're good. He didn't care if you were from a nation they had just conquered. What we do is we say, forget about the best performer. We have quotas and we need to put women in there, even if they're not the best. And, you know, people need to understand there have always been women who made it into male spaces, but those women earned it. They were good. Now we have an entitlement where anyone just comes in. So we put quotas of women over putting the best in a job. And so how's that going to affect the competitiveness for the U.S. on a global market? Now think about this. If all men are banned from the U.S., what would happen? Down in Mexico, we have El Chapo, and he'd come up here. He's already proven that he's not afraid. His people are not afraid. They fought the Mexican army and won in a battle. So we'd have Mexico coming up from the south. I lived in Mexico. Mexico still sees those states as Mexico. They want them back. Hey, what's going on, Ashley? Thanks for joining. And we'd have Mexico coming from the south, and China, you better believe, would see our weakness. No, not our, it would be a country of all women who now are responsible for building the structure of the nation. They'd be responsible for maintaining it and protecting it with the military, with no men. They put all the men out. They banned men. That's what, and so El Chapo would come from the south. China would hit the western shores. And they would take over this nation. And El Chapo and the other drug lords, they're ruthless. They're not like just some military people who fight. These people are ruthless. And they are already making feminists disappear in Mexico. And any man who attempts to defend the feminists, those men disappear also. And China's already recognized that they need masculinity, that the men in their country are becoming too soft, and that's not good for the nation. And they're starting to teach little boys. There's this nationwide mandate that boys need to learn about masculinity. What's going on, Imperator? Hey, SW, that's right. Yeah, PJ, 18 years to replace a soldier, right? That's what it takes, 18 years. You lose a soldier to replace him, going to take 18 years to grow up a boy into a soldier, right, SW? Without the support, they would just die. Right. Men think about family. Interesting, PJ. So they hold that tradition, the ultra-Orthodox Jews, huh? And they hold men in high regard. And they're successful. Hell, here in New York and New Jersey, they catch them doing like these Section 8 housing scams. They've pop-busted them. So Hey, I'm going to take a couple of calls. Area code 870 and 605. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from? 870, you can go first. Thanks for calling in.
Good evening to you. How's it going, man?
Hey, pretty well and yourself?
Oh, that's pretty good on my end. Look, Kendrick here, just calling in. A great topic, T.
Hey, thank you. Any thoughts? Can civilization survive without men?
And with that said, Ted, I can tell you the honest to God answer would be no.
Why do you say that?
Because they were ready
to refute you on that one.
It was set up for the man to be in charge and protect and build and do the thing that, you know, that the masculine energy of the sexes was supposed to be doing to it. Now, somebody may argue that, but that's how I was raised. That's how I grew up. The men did their thing, and everybody else followed along behind it. But now, some kind of way, we got this thing twisted, and I'm glad you brought this up.
Is Jim over, bro?
Sorry about that. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. You said, are you glad I brought this up?
Yes, sir, because it needs to be said, and hopefully it'll wake some of these feminism minded type of women up. Hopefully it'll wake them up. You need to cry loud and spare not, Ted.
What about the men who are feminists?
You need to wake they butt up too.
So they may say I'm just a misogynist and I hate women.
No. You're not a misogynist. You tell them the truth, and you stand for facts. Real men based off logic and facts. Anything less than that, Ted, and you living in some type of delusion or fantasy.
Okay. All right. Area code 605. You're live and on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What are your thoughts?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on? Is this Joe?
Oh, you can hear me? Okay, I didn't hear the unmuted sound. How you doing, Ted? How you doing, Kendrick?
Well, man, pretty well. What do you think about that?
Good.
Can civilization survive without it?
Probably. And the reason why I say that is because now we're going into the age of technology. Let's say there's a few million women who get together, form an organization, and find some place on the planet that they can go to without men. In the comic books, they've had that, the Amazonians, the Wonder Woman comic books, where they had the Amazons. Now, with AI, and women traditionally can't get along with women. They get along with men better. But let's say they could get along with women. With AI, they could build robots. If they had the education, they would be the administrators, and the heavy lifting wouldn't be done by men, which is what they would need us for. They would be done by robots. It wouldn't be done by the women because they would be too weak. So if they could have the robots, and if they could have the 3D printing, which a few years ago, as an experiment, 3D printing actually created what was it? Either a three-story, let's say a three-story structure. It wasn't a complete three-story structure. It was just the outside, the skeleton, the pillars, and the floors. But with advanced technology, you better believe there'd be a bunch of women saying, we really don't need men. And they would have a female-only society. But without AI, without robots, no, they couldn't survive without men. They wouldn't even know how to build a fire. It's true. They wouldn't. I mean, did you ever watch the episode on Survivor where they had the men versus the women? The women didn't even know how to build a fire.
I heard about...
That's just the way it was.
Separate islands, right?
I don't think, no, it's just the Survivor Series.
Okay.
And they had, they split it up between the men and the women. And the women tried to seduce the men at the very beginning when they found out they couldn't even, they didn't know how to make flint produce sparks to create a fire. So they tried to seduce the men. The men didn't go for it. And the women, by deceit, got some of the fire from the the men's fireplace. But other than that, I mean, if in today's society right now, no, they couldn't. No, please. They wouldn't know what to do. They would get into arguments with each other. They wouldn't know how to, they wouldn't know how to light a fire. They wouldn't know how to do anything. There would be so many disagreements amongst them. It'd be pathetic.
Okay. So, someone said AI can't replace men yet.
Well, no, not yet. No. But in the future, AI will replace everybody.
But AI will take over, OT. If it becomes super aware and grows a conscious of its own, OT, that's what that dude, what not Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk was talking about. If it develops its own mentality and take on the characteristics of something malevolent, then all of humanity got a problem. See?
You are so right, Kendricks. You are so right.
All of us screwed. If the AI, if it becomes self-aware. So somebody still got to be in charge of it.
There's a lot of talk about that, right? If AI can figure out that it doesn't need humans,
yeah. If it becomes a sentient being, as Kendrick is talking about, if it actually realizes that it's alive, and at the rate in which it can consume information and process it, and I'm not kidding, within a few minutes, it will be able to absorb all the information on the planet. Because do you guys know how fast, it used to be the fastest computer on the planet, but Google has the fastest computer on the planet. But let me give you the operational speed. Do you guys know what the speed is of the Chinese fastest computer? I'll tell you.
Really?
Yeah, how fast it is. It can do, now, this number I'm going to throw out at you is going to be, it's going to sound fantastic. 64 quadrillion operations per second.
Wow.
That means it can absorb the Encyclopedia Britannica, 26 books of the 26 letter of the alphabet. Let's say each book is about 500 pages long. It can absorb the entire Encyclopedia Britannica in less than a second.
Wow.
So if AI gets hooked up to that, plus it has the capacity to what's called general recognition, general intelligence, and it'll be able to program itself, and that's the holy grail for AI, for it to do everything all by itself, the programming of itself without human intervention. And as Kendrick said, if it becomes self-aware, in less than an hour, it will have completed plans for the destruction of the human race. Because would it need us?
In other words, Mr. Joe, something like a Terminator or an iRobot scenario.
You got it.
So it would basically be what you guys are saying is the robot's version of feminism. I don't need a human. It's not that I don't need a man. I don't need a human.
Yeah. That's the best way of putting it. Yeah, that's exactly.
But if that's the case, though, Ted, what would you think of the so-called sex drawers that these Japanese and these other animatronic type of people call themselves building, Ted?
what, sex robots?
Yes, sir. They claim they got them, but I don't know how far along them things develop.
Yeah, they're actually doing test runs with them, so.
Do you know they actually want to establish laws that if you buy a sex robot, you cannot harm it? If you harm it, quote unquote harm it, you can be charged with assault and battery. Did you know that? In other words, if you took your toaster, if you took a baseball bat to your toaster, are you going to get charged with assault and battery? No.
Right.
If you take a baseball bat to your sex robot, you would be.
That's very interesting. I think I did hear something about robots getting like human rights.
Yeah.
Huh. That's profound. What were you going to say, Kendrick?
I was saying, I was just baffled about it. You know, I ain't even realized that a machine could have human rights.
They can't, but they want to give it to them.
Well, so because they're more advanced than people realize. I know a guy who, he's a sniper. I think he went back to serve in Afghanistan. And I think they call him a devil dog because he's got all these medals on him at a young age. And he was telling me he was a driver for a general, and they had this exclusive conference for only high-ranking officers. And it was a presentation. And the presentation was a robot. So some human being said, hey, we're gonna have a robot come out and do a presentation. Robot comes out. He said it looked just like a man, a person, like the flesh, everything. And he said the robot did its own presentation. It sat down and said, hi, everyone. My name is Bop, Bop, Bop. The robot made jokes. It was sarcastic. They had a machine that could like you stand under it, and the machine comes down on you, and it's 1,500 pounds of pressure. This robot was able to resist that 15. It was able to hold 1,500 pounds of pressure. It had that much power. And when his presentation was gone, the guy telling me the story said, you couldn't tell which one was the robot and which was human. It just blended right in because a lot of people walked up and they were shaking hands. So the robot interacted just like a human being. Told jokes, sarcasm. He just did a presentation. He could walk. He said he picked up sand and showed how he can move his fingers to let the sand fall between his fingers. Like he could write. He could do many. This was way more advanced. And I forget which company made it, but they said this is the soldier of the future. You no longer will need human beings out there fighting. So they are way more advanced than the public knows.
Have you guys seen the General Dynamics video of the dancing robots?
Maybe not. I don't remember.
No, but please tell me.
All right. Well, if you look up dancing robots on YouTube, you will actually see robots doing disco, and they are doing it in pure rhythm, like they're human. Just look it up, Dancing Robots by General Dynamics, and they're dancing to the tune of Do You Love Me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Oh, yeah. You got to see it. I don't think it's real. I think it's actually CGI, but to watch them dance, and they have three of them. They're dancing in choreography to one another, and they're doing little flips. Not flips, but they're doing little foot movements and choreography that requires a hell of a lot of balance. So, yeah, I can believe what you're talking about, Ted.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, I've gotten to know him over the years. He had no reason to lie about this. So his details were way too fine. So, hey, guys, as you come in, smash the like button. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, smash that bell. and subscribe so you'll get notifications when I'm putting out new stuff. Ashley, I see you in Instagram. That's a good question. Is that the Antichrist? And I saw your other question. I'm going to answer that. Let me show a few things here. There's technology. I'm saying that to say, you know, the answer to the question, you said, yes, can civilization survive without men? If women could employ these robots that do exist, and even the ones who are in a crude form can do, you know, they can do other kind of work. So with robots and AI, you're saying, yes, they could survive without men. They have a replacement.
Absolutely.
Interesting, when you look at it that way.
Not in today's society, but if they move their asses off America and move to some other place on the planet, and they actually, if they can get along with each other, which they wouldn't be able to do, actually implement technology the way that I'm talking about, absolutely they could survive without men. Because men do the heavy lifting. Men are, they, the women, can become as creative as they would want. They may not be as creative to the degree that men are. They may not be as creative at the same rate as men, but they wouldn't need to be. They could just start at a certain level, and with AI, with robots, they just grow at their own pace, but they could survive without men. Would they, after a time, want to be with men again? You better believe it, because women are just as horny as men are. Okay?
Right.
But, and they would need that intimacy that a robot isn't going to give them. But they could survive without men for a while.
Interesting. Yeah, I did a show, more than a year ago, and I talked about a company. It was an all-female company. It was a media company. And the founder, you know, she wanted to make sure she had all women. And, you know, the women came in and wanted high salaries, and she knew that that was going to affect profit margins, except she said, no, I'm going to pay these women the salaries they want. She gave them high salaries, and none of the women performed at the level at which they were being paid. The women had, like, cat fights, and when the women had arguments, they couldn't work. It was unproductive. They talked about sex. They talked about sex in great detail.
Right.
Like, last night I had this guy and I did this to him and he did, you know, they were speaking in great detail. All the things that they say are horrible for men to do. When they were, the women, you know, when women are together, their period synchronized, and that was just crazy. They'd have these cat fights, and the loser would go in the bathroom and cry, which means she's not working. Like, the loser's not in the bathroom crying for an hour. And everyone's walking on eggshells. You know, and at some point they had to hire a guy after a year, I think, because to carry the camera was too heavy for the women to do. And when they hired the guy, all the women, including the married women, started competing for the man's attention. But what it did do is it calmed down. No one wanted to have the cat fights in front of the guy, so they didn't fight the way they did. The guy brought some order and stability to the office.
Uh-huh. I read that article. It was interesting.
Oh, you read it?
I read
okay.
it. And then at the she said she would never do that again.
She went out of business, right? She, you know.
Right.
And it's not the only case study. I mean, I've actually had clients. These were smaller companies, but they were women only. But we're talking, you know, professional, you know, very professional, medical doctors.
Yep.
I've had clients who were just, there were no women, no men in the firm, in the company at all, just all women. Me being a man maybe gave me an advantage because they were very responsive to me. And there was a, I wasn't hired as an employee. I was hired as a consultant to help change culture and develop leaders.
Right.
And so it was, I think being a man gave me some advantage. And when there were problems, they would look to me, Ted, you know, are you going to help us in this? You know, so there was a level of command that I had, but these were smaller companies. I don't know if they would have been able to scale with the owners of the companies that it was useful, because by me giving them tools, they were better able to resolve conflicts a lot faster with them without them getting out of control. So anyway.
How did you, when I was never officially a consultant. I have been hired on a couple of occasions under certain conditions, which I wanted to impose, and which supposedly the people who hired me agreed to, and I wanted to institute change. Okay,
right.
And specifically in one company, the terminology was structure and organization. But when I got hired, I heard, you just don't do that here, Joe, you know. And that was so frustrating. Oh, man. We just don't do that here. Well, I know. That's why I was hired, to bring in some change. Progress means change. But that was frustrating to me. What happened to you, but.
Well, you were hired as an employee, right?
Right.
Yeah. I was hired as a consultant, so that always keeps me outside the culture. So I never get caught up in what's happening. So I basically don't answer to anyone. So that gives me the That gives me the space to have really tough and brutal conversations with the CEO. You know, I work with much larger companies, you know, several hundred employees, and I get to have like these really tough conversations and ask the tough questions that no one is asking the CEO. So being outside, and I never get caught up in the culture. So.
Oh, that is good. That is so cool, because Jesus, when you're inside, you really, the worst enemy is your own boss in terms of sales and trying to get to the bottom line, because they get stuck with the, that's another topic for business.
Yeah, we're going off. I was going to say we're going off topic here, but I get your. And what I'm thinking is that you could say that's what I'm looking to do. I really want to see men break out of this stuck place that men have gotten into and kind of have bought into the idea that nothing can happen, like nothing can change. There's nothing men can do. And I don't buy into that. Because I watch so much change happen in organizations, and organizations are just people, just like society. A company is a reflection of your society. That's it. The problems people have in their personal life, they may be trained how to suppress it in a corporation, but here's the deal. Who you are is who you are. So if you're a person who doesn't handle conflict very well, you're not going to handle it at work. So instead of blowing up like you do at home, you may just shut down and do nothing because you don't know how to resolve it.
Yeah.
You know what, and SW, I want to talk about this, you know, empowerment of women. I'm going to read parts of a very, very interesting article. I'm going to take one more call, and then I'm going to do a screen share. Area code 678, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you call?
It's just me, Sam. I'm going to lay low and eat until I come back.
All right, okay. All right. Hold it. Thanks. Red Pill Ghost, I just dropped you in. So, guys, hold on, let me say one thing. So, always appreciate your support. This and many shows, you guys know I do. I always do a lot of research. So, I drop my PayPal and my Cash App in there. We have a super chat. So, any support you guys provide for me, I always appreciate it. I want to bring you content, and you guys can leverage me even more than what you do. I have tools, as I was just talking to Joe about being able to create change and help people transform mindset so that they're actually able to produce the results they want. And these are results that look impossible, not like a pipe dream, but they just don't follow your normal trajectory. So the trajectory that we're on in the U.S. can be disrupted, just like so many other things have been disrupted in life. But it has to be done intelligently, strategically, and there has to be a clear intent. So your support is appreciated. You guys can leverage me more than you do. What's going on, Red Pill Ghost? So I'm asking the question, can civilization survive without men? Joe just said, yes, with AI and computers, women can make it without men.
Can civilization support themselves without men, right? That's the question, right?
Yes.
I'm a bit, you know, just biased on it, but I'm going to say no, actually. Just like because, you know, a lot of, you know, just men and stuff, I mean, like, you know, they're like, you know, just, they're like they're like the leaders of the companies and stuff from, like, you know, just what I noticed. I mean, like, you know, men in our society and stuff, I mean, like, you know, like, they're, you know, like, they've been, like, you know, just told, like, at a, like, you know, just young, like, age and stuff that, you know, they have to, you know, just lead the household or, you know, just, you know, just lead a company and stuff. And I feel like, you know, despite, you know, the technological, like, advances and stuff, you know, like, you know, for the future and stuff, I feel like, you know, just men can, like, you know, men can, you know, how do I say this, but, you know, just men can, you know, just still, you know, just
the new caller. The new caller. Opinion. You have a verb.
Yeah.
You have a verb when you, yeah, when you, yeah, talk. I don't know if you're using Bluetooth or, but you hear it, Ted?
No, he's clear for me.
Oh, okay. Then I'll, yeah, just, okay, I'll just wait until you finish.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so my statement is that, you know, civilization can, you know, just survive, you know, just with, like, you know, just men and stuff, because, you know, men at a young, like, you know, just age and stuff, we're, like, you know, just pulling stuff to, like, you know, just lead a household and stuff. I mean, like, you know, like, you know, like, we can go thousands of years back and stuff, and, like, you know, like, the hunter-gatherers, the Neanderthals, or, like, just whatever it's called again. I mean, like, those, like, you know, those cavemen and stuff, you know, just back in the day, I mean, like, they were always, you know, just leading the tribe and stuff, you know, because, I mean, they were the ones, you know, just hunting for food, you know, providing for the family and stuff, while the woman, you know, they stayed at home and, you know, just nurtured the family. So I feel like, you know, men can survive, you know, in this civilization and stuff, just, like, because of the higher, like, expectations and stuff that, you know, fathers tell their sons. But it depends on the family, though, because I think, you know, just fathers, like, they don't set goals for their sons and stuff, and they, like, you know, just manage to throw their life away and, like, you know, just live in trash. I've seen it before, I mean, but, yeah, men can survive, you know, just either way and stuff, but, you know, it's, like, all about the mindset and, like, you know, just how their families, you know, just raise them and stuff, so, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to do a screen share. There's a woman who's a feminist. She has an interesting perspective here.
Oh, my God. The feminists in my youngest college classes, Mr. Santos, they're, like, crazy, yo. They're crazy in my classes. Like, they're just, like, you know, there's, like, you know, all what? They're just saying, you know, the stupidest shit about, you know, just hating on, like, you know, it's all men and stuff. I'm just like, yo, like, they're so annoying. I can't stand feminists sometimes, you know. Yeah.
Wait until you hear what this woman has.
All right. I'm listening.
So I took this article from Wall Street Journal. It's an op-ed and opinion piece. It was written in December of 2013. Camille Paglia, A Feminist Defense of Masculine Virtues. She says this article, the subtitle is The Cultural Critic on Why Ignoring the Biological Differences Between Men and Women Risks Undermining Western Civilization.
There's a lot of background noise.
Yeah, go on. Whoever that is in the back, you've got things going on. Go on mute. It's loud. Here's what she says. Listen to this. What you're seeing is how a civilization commits suicide, says Camille Paglia. The self-described notorious Amazon feminist isn't telling anyone to lean in or asking why women still can't have it all. No. Her indictment may be as surprising as it is wide-ranging. The military is out of fashion. Americans undervalue manual labor. Schools neuter male students. Opinion makers deny the biological differences between men and women. And sexiness is dead. And that's just 20 minutes of a three-hour conversation. When Ms. Paglia announced 66 burst onto the national stage in 1990 with the publishing of Sexual Persona, she immediately established herself as a feminist who was the scourge of the movement's establishment, a heretic to its orthodoxy. Pick up 700-page tome subtitled Art of Decadence from Nefertiti to Emily Dickinson, and it's easy to see why. If civilization had been left in female hands, she wrote, we would still be living in grass huts. So that's a woman's thought. That's not a guy's thing.
Yeah.
At least she's telling the truth, babe.
That's a woman saying it. I didn't say that. Not my thought.
At least the lady had enough common sense to say the truth, though, Ted. So I applaud her on it.
So let's see if we can get some other women. Let's see.
Man, a woman said that? Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
Right. They'd still be living in grass huts. So under fair use, I'm going to share a video of two women. And they're going to talk about why is masculinity being attacked. These two women have a very interesting perspective under fair use. I'm only showing this for educational purposes, to critique, to offer another perspective. And under the Fair Use Act, that is the only reason I'm showing this. And this video is fairly new. It's May 24th of this year. So listen to these two ladies.
Today, I am very happy to be joined once again by my twin sister, Nicole. And today, we're going to be talking about the attack on masculinity, but from a bit of a different angle than we've discussed before. I've already made videos in the past establishing the fact that there is a war on men, including their masculinity. However, today, Nicole and I want to discuss the motivation behind these attacks. Why exactly is masculinity being attacked?
Another question we want to explore is, why is masculinity deemed as something inherently toxic, as a vice when it's in men, but then it's celebrated as something empowering, as a virtue when it's in women?
Look at this. All masculinity is toxic. Feminist writer and activist John Stoltenberg believes we need to give up manhood for good if we want to live morally sound and love-filled lives. Yeah, that's
oh, he can kiss my ass.
A virtue when it's in women, for example.
Right, so listen to what they just said. We tell men to be more feminine because masculinity is horrible, and then we tell women to turn around and be more masculine. you know, this is right, exactly. What are we really creating?
Men are constantly encouraged to explore their feminine side by being in tune with their emotions, by openly crying or wearing girly clothing, makeup, or carrying handbags. Even by altering the pitch of their voice to sound gentler and more womanly, they're told that beta males are superior to alpha males, and that women find men who are sensitive and compliant more desirable than partners. They're told that masculine men are dangerous, that masculine men are something from which society needs to be protected. Men are told that they need to step aside, keep their heads down, and let the more capable, more moralistic feminine gender lead. Women.
So they're saying women are more moralistic as they're racking up 100 sex partners in a short time period and becoming emotionally unstable and violent mothers. And not to mention the 70% of domestic violence is initiated by women. So, I mean, come on now. So maybe I'm missing something.
Women, on the other hand, are told that the absolute best example of a strong and empowered woman is one who possesses traditionally male traits: physical strength, a dominant nature, aggressiveness, the ability to lead, the ability to provide for a family. In other words, to be a girl boss. Somehow, our culture has deemed traditionally male traits to be the goal that all women should strive for while completely ignoring all of the traditionally feminine traits.
See, what guys have to get is at one time, there were conversations that existed in this country that said men are masculine, women are feminine. And as your father, I'm going to take you out and teach you masculine things. And as a mother, she's going to take her daughter out and teach her feminine things. And a little girl got to see an image of a man through her father and her brothers. And all they did was create a new conversation. I've had this conversation before, guys, that cultural anthropologists say a culture is just a network of conversations. So if you want to change a culture, and the same thing happens in corporations, you literally create new conversations. You kill off the old ones, or you shame them, you make them bad, and you create a new one to replace them. And that's all that's been done. Once men buy into there's nothing they can do and go into this state of hopelessness, what you've done is caved into a conversation. No one's put a gun to your head. No one's beat you with a bat. There's no knife to your throat. All it is men are caving into conversations and allowing women to overspeak them. And the more women that say this, the more powerless men think. And you have to remember, if we go back to the 60s, it was only a tiny amount of women. You couldn't even call it a minority. So a small amount of women were able to change the culture. So for men to think it cannot be reversed, it means you've given up and you've bought in. That women are more powerful. Game is for women, and they're gaming men. Power is for men. Game is for girls. Power is for men.
Traits that are not only admirable, but that are also an example of strength and should be celebrated. Traits such as being maternal, as being nurturing, compassionate, patient, self-sacrificing, and supportive.
In this video, we want to explore not only why masculinity is under attack, but also how the current narrative is actually the most anti-male and anti-female narrative that we have in our society at the moment. It is the narrative that the best man is the man who usurps the traditionally female role, and the best woman is the woman who usurps the traditionally male role. We're going to get it.
So you guys buying this from this woman, these two women, or do you all think they're feminine, or they're just giving lip service? We're gonna show some more, but she's about to do a commercial. So what do you guys think of these ladies?
They're stupid and they're just delusional. They're just delusional. I mean, it was just most likely, they were taught by their own parents and stuff that, you know, as, you know, just women and stuff, like, they're supposed to, you know, have all the power. But that's not, you know, just how our society works, you know. I mean, like, you know, just men in our society, you know, just They're the ones that, like, you know, just have the power, and they're the leaders, but not the woman, in my opinion. I feel like, you know, just women in our society and stuff have to, you know, step down a bit and, like, you know, just act more like, you know, just feminine and stuff, because I know this where, you know, I grew up at a lot of, like, you know, just women and stuff, they're all, like, they try their best to, like, you know, just act like a man, but, I mean, it's the, like, other way around. I mean, you know, our society stuff, you know, just told us that, you know, just women have to, you know, have to be the, the mothers and stuff, and also be feminine, while, you know, just men are, like, you know, just masculine. So, yeah, that's my statement on it.
Cool. Yep. What about the women doing, two women, doing the presentation? What, do you have any thoughts about them?
My statement towards the two, you know, just women and stuff, is that they don't know what they're talking about. I mean, like, they most likely, I mean, like, peg a bunch of guys and stuff, because I noticed that, you know, like, they're very, like, you know, just, they're very, you know, just masculine and stuff, you know, like, I mean, one girl is just, I mean, like, you know, like, she has, like, a strong jawline, so that means, you know, she's, you know, just masculine, and, you know, like, she wants the power and stuff, but, like, you know, just from what I'm looking at, it's just like, you know, both these girls, you know, just most likely, you know, were the dominant, in the, like, you know, just, like, you know, just relationship and stuff, you know, just with a man and stuff. Like, that's how I see it, though. Like,
okay. Right.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Thoughts on the two ladies?
Yeah.
Right.
It just seemed to me they were just trying to... Oh, go ahead, Kendrick.
No, go ahead.
You good? Oh, okay. They were just going to examine the attacks on men. I don't see the video, but I did. For me, I didn't hear anything from them that they were attacking men themselves. That they were going to examine the new paradigm about why men are have this toxic masculinity. So I haven't even heard what their facts are yet.
Yeah, I forgot you're on Blog Talk, but they've showed clippings and all kinds of headlines from news articles and statements from specific people. They've shown quotes. So I forgot you can't see this. Right. All right. So let's
keep going. Are they attacking men?
Are they
attacking men, or are they examining the attacks on men?
I think
yeah, there's a video. Yeah.
Yeah. Examining Kendrick, you're going to say something, Kendrick?
Yes, T. I just wanted to point out the fact that ain't no such thing as toxic masculinity, but
right. You
do have toxic men with masculinity. Now, that need to be the clarification with these women. They need to start calling masculinity itself
right.
Toxic.
Okay. All right. So let's see what else they have to say.
A personal link in the video description. To start off, we need to answer the question of why masculinity is being attacked. Of course, femininity is being attacked as well. However, the attack is less blatant and a bit more subversive. For example, you don't normally hear the media or Hollywood say that femininity is bad. Instead, they say that being physically strong, dominant, and a leader are traits that make for the ideal woman. As for masculinity, it's under constant siege openly all of the time. The problem is that taking on female traits isn't as alluring to men as taking on male traits is to women, at least in general. It's something that a lot of men have to be propagandized into doing over a long period of time.
So he's saying that it's easier to trick women into believing they should act masculine, and it's hard to trick men into acting feminine. But she said you use propaganda over a long period of time. It's like the Chinese water torture. You know, you just keep one drop, drip, 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 but sometimes maybe now they're trying to use a baseball bat. So we went from Chinese water torture to some men are being beaten and punished for acting mass.
Reach critical mass now.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Let's see what else.
Anyhow, in my opinion, the primary reason that masculinity is being attacked is because effeminate men are easier to control than masculine men. Masculine men, having traits like stoicism, competitiveness, dominance, and aggressiveness, aren't going to as easily submit themselves, their countries, and their freedoms to the government.
So that's someone in the chat was talking about being able to control people, right? So what you can't see, Joe, is they put up a quote, and it says, "The society that separates its scholars from its warriors will have its thinking done by cowards and its fighting done by fools."
And do please elaborate on this.
All right, so Kendrick, say that, and then go ahead.
Could you please elaborate on some of what that quote means that you just showed up? I mean, what those ladies just showed on this clip.
Okay, and the quote is from Thucydides. He lived 460 BC to 400.
A Greek scholar, right?
Philosopher.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he's saying that if you have, if you make your scholars warriors, you'll have more intelligent warriors out on the field. But if you separate them and your scholars are not warriors and your warriors are not scholars, then your scholars will never know the battlefield, and they'll be cowards, and they'll do all the thinking. So all the decision will be made by cowards, and then all the fighting will be made by people who are not very smart. So he calls them fools. You follow me
on that? Yes, sir. So that's my thing in regards to this old ancient quote these ladies talking about. Okay. So why can't you just have men designated in all areas of life then, kid? It sounds simpler to have your scholars, your brain surgeons, your plumbers and your electricians and everybody else that play an intricate role in society, kid.
Yeah. So, you know, in one hand, he could be saying, even if you want to be a surgeon or a university professor, you should get some military training so that you understand masculinity and competitiveness. But if you don't do that, you're just sitting behind a wall, behind a desk, and you're making decisions and you have no idea what happens in a man's world. So I guess maybe they're getting at we're now in that age.
I can't agree to that, because you still got the man that's at the top of the totem pole still sitting back watching everybody else did. He gives his marching orders to his generals, and the generals pass it on to the soldiers.
Well, yeah, but you have to understand who's over the military. Whoever's over the Whoever's over the military. The ultimate power is not in the president of the United States.
That's right, because if you really want to do your research, you'll find out that there's some powerful families up over these militaries and things. Dude.
Exactly. So they don't necessarily, they could be just cowards giving marching orders. And they hide behind, they're like the Wizard of Oz. Ignore that man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe. What were you going to say?
Also, what they were saying in the clip was that if you have, seems like the purpose might be to make the men won't submit that easily to the government. So they have to have a breakdown. They have to have men and women against each other. They have to have universal roles in order to have men become weaker so that it would be easier for the nation as a whole to submit to, as Kendrick was talking about, the family, the people who are above the government.
Exactly.
The whole purpose, in my opinion, is a concerted effort to bring down America and other countries as well. And in order to do that, they're trying to destroy the nations from within. So to do that, you know, you just read the Communist Manifesto, and they're employing those particular planks.
Yep, and SW, that's why, you know, I just paused it here to talk about this. And there are powers over the government. The government has no power. They have no political power. They're public servants. What's going on, Kosher Clinician? Good to see you in the house. Yep. Hey, that's interesting. There are men who are being raised to hate masculinity. And that's rough. And that's where you get the cowards who will start making decisions. And they send the fools out to fight. So men who have masculinity.
I had a friend like that. Yeah, I had a friend like that. I mean, that on the description right there, I've seen, you know, like, you know, just so many current, like, you know, just men that were, you know, just raised by, you know, just women who behave as women or taught to hate their fathers. Yeah, I had a friend like that, you know. He just hated his, you know, just father and stuff, and you know he was, you know, just caught up, you know, like with a lot of shit, you know, like like with drugs and, like, you know, just fighting and stuff. Like, I mean a guy like had his, you know, his own crew and stuff to beat up people. So yeah, I know what you're saying about that, you know, SW. It's true. I mean, like, it's the reality though.
Did that guy come from a household where the mother wore the mask?
Both his, you know, his parents were like divorced and stuff, but the mom, you know, just raised him, so that's probably, yeah, that's a flaw right there. So that's really a flaw right there. Yeah.
Got it. Yep. Okay.
The government. This is also why the nuclear family is being attacked and broken down, using the promotion of ideals such as feminism, birth control, and abortion, because atomized individuals without the strength of a family to rely on tend to rely more on the government. Strong, masculine men are also far more capable of defending their countries, their communities, and their families. Even countries like China recognize this. They understand that a decline in masculinity in men will lead to a decline in their nation.
Now, listen to what she's going to say. What she just popped on a screen for you guys who can't see it. It says, China proposes teaching masculinity to boys as state is alarmed by changing gender roles. Boys in China traditionally are expected to be strong leaders, get good grades, and excel at sports. But the gender balance in China is changing. So she's going to talk about what China's doing about that.
Recently, the Chinese Education Ministry issued a notice called The Proposal to Prevent the Feminization of Male Adolescents, and they called on schools to fully reform their offerings on physical education and strengthen the recruitment of teachers. The text advised recruiting retired athletes and people from sporting backgrounds and vigorously developing particular sports like football with a view to cultivating students' masculinity.
China's doing something about it. I mean, feminism has, I mean, feminism is like another form of colonialism, and it's spreading throughout the world. You could say it's colonialism 3.0 or something like that. And China's they're looking to put a stop to that.
They need to, because it's getting like a canker sore pig. Next thing you know, gangrene done set in, and they talking about taking some out.
Yeah, and it'll be men.
Right. So, you know, do you ban? So could the U.S. end up being a country where men are banned, and you have to get a special visit?
Well, that could be a possibility. I could see something like that happen. I just pray that it don't happen. But it makes your mind wonder where we heading when, you know, when we see all these different topics being brought up in media and elsewhere.
I don't know if this is a fact, Lando. You said China, they banned skinny jeans. Thanks for jumping in here.
Oh yeah, they did actually.
Are you serious? This is real.
It was North Korea, I think, but I don't think it was China though. I think it was just North Korea actually.
North Korea.
I don't know. I gotta correct my statements on that. Wait up. I'm gonna search it up actually.
All right. So they're serious then, huh? No, that's the SW, that's the challenge. All they did was create new conversations. It's like a magic trick, man. The powers to be, hold on, the powers to be only have power over the people who give their power to them. Just look how this country was founded.
Hey, I think 60-some men done signed the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
The Constitution of this country. Come on now. So you got to look at how this country was founded.
What?
It wasn't China, actually. It was North Korea. North Korea, their country, they banned skinny jeans because the leader, Kim Jong-un, like, I guess the guy hates skinny jeans, so I guess he hates skinny jeans, so yeah.
SW, feminism was planned way before 80 years ago, 1837, it's a French guy, I forget his name, maybe I could, I have it written down somewhere, yeah, feminism, this whole idea of breaking the family up and the father out the home, this is not 80 years old. Feminism was coined by a Frenchman, not by a woman. So this is very old. Yes, I do have it written. Charles Fourier, I may have my French is horrible. Last name is spelled F-U-R-I-E-R. A utopian socialist and French philosopher is credited with having coined the word feminism in 1837. This is much older than 80 years ago. It didn't just start in the 20th century. And you guys may have heard me talk. My grandfather grew up with his parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents. And can you imagine the amount of knowledge and discipline that happens and the care that happens with a family growing up like that, the children. So they got rid of that whole growing up with your parents and you just put them in an old folks home.
But I tell you, you do bring up an interesting point. I wonder, was that part of the narrative to destroy the family structure, moving 3-4 generations of people out of one household, disrupting it?
Yep. So, we talked about this the last show. You were not there, Rick, Bill. But we were saying, well, okay, so you can do all this stuff, but what's really the end game? Like, Kendrick said, depopulate the planet. So what's the end game? Because if you're a wealthy family, you benefit from a large population. You have more things to sell. People don't realize how beneficial outsourcing is to the U.S. because when you outsource 10,000 jobs, you just created 10,000 new potential customers for other products and services the U.S. sells. So the money comes back. It used to be for every dollar you spend or invest overseas, $6 would come back, but it's probably like $3 that comes back now. So we do benefit from outsourcing. If we don't send those jobs overseas, those countries won't develop the way they are. And you can look at China and India, Brazil, even Russia. And Vietnam is now starting. China's outsourcing to Vietnam. So Vietnam is starting to build and develop itself. It means it has to make buildings and roads. And they need to have consistent electricity. So there's development that happens. So, there's about two-thirds of the population is in poverty. So the more jobs you send overseas, I know it's counterintuitive to what the news set tells us, but the United States just does a poor job of retraining displaced people. Scandinavian countries do much better. So what else is this lady saying about China?
Last May, a delegate of China's top advisory body said that many of China's young males had become weak, timid, and self-abasing. There was a trend among young Chinese males toward feminization, he claimed, which would inevitably endanger the survival and development of the Chinese nation, unless it was effectively managed. I use China as an example here, not to uphold the Chinese regime as an exemplary government. I mention China solely because they haven't forgotten the priceless value of masculine men, which is something that not only the United States, but much of the Western world in general have forgotten. Well, I actually wouldn't say that we have forgotten the value of masculinity. It's more that many of us know the value of it, but we aren't able to promote, nurture, and encourage it without being accused of promoting toxic masculinity or misogyny or even white supremacy. People will disagree with us, of course. There are plenty of people out there who genuinely do believe that traditional masculinity and femininity are a bad thing. In fact, on the American Psychological Association's website, Stephanie Pappas sums up the APA's enemy. Traditional masculinity, marked by stoicism, competitiveness, dominance, and aggression, is, on the whole, harmful. Our job as therapists is, the authors suggest, to remove all but the ideologically sound masculinities from boys and men, and specifically remove masculinities that involve competition, aggression, strength, and power. The goal of a combined institutional effort to fight for a society in which being a man or a woman means nothing, and there's no apparent difference between the sexes, is becoming ever clearer. As a result, we're seeing a decline in our nation, and specifically in our men. The fact that more women are going to college than men, more women are in the workforce than men, men have a higher suicide rate, far more men are homeless, less men than ever want to get married, men are checking out of real society in favor of escapism, and so on.
The truth is, however, that as John Hawkins so accurately states in his article about traditional masculinity, almost everything of worth on this planet was built by traditional masculinity, aggression, strength, and power. The great industrialists, generals, inventors, heroes, and leaders are almost all traditional men. If you're in America, you're in a nation founded by traditional men that exists because traditional men were willing to use violence to protect it. Reading about this on an invention created by traditional men. You can go on and on with this, and the point is not to denigrate women who were prevented from reaching their full potential for a long time. It's to note that the contributions of traditional men are so important, overwhelming, and ever-present that we may take them for granted like a fish, not realizing that it's swimming in water. On that note, since it fits in so well with the theme of this video, I wanted to quickly give a shout-out to a new up-and-coming channel that I recently discovered, which explores a lot of male themes and issues. For those interested, it's called Rewire the West, and it has beautifully made and narrated videos that I think a lot of you will enjoy. This isn't a sponsorship or anything like that. I just genuinely do like the YouTube channel, and I think that many of you will as well.
Instead of tearing men down, we should be appreciating the vital and irreplaceable role that they have played in shaping society. Mothers should encourage masculinity in their sons by not smothering them with overprotectiveness, by letting them be bold and daring and adventurous, by teaching them about honor, loyalty, and respect. Women should appreciate and admire masculine traits in their brothers, male friends, and husbands.
Someone asked
that's what I want to hear.
Go on mute. There's too much background noise there, guys. So they put up an interesting chart, the decline of traditional masculinity. And they're saying that a bigger percentage of men over 65, like 65%, were what you would call completely masculine, and only a very small percentage of men over 65 would be considered completely feminine. And when you get down to the younger ages, 18 to 29, only 30% of men 18 to 29 are what they would call completely masculine. And 10% are completely feminine. So when you get to 30 to 34, it's 28%. And I guess that's Gen X. Or combination. I'm not Gen X. The millennials, and 45 to 64, it's 45%. So, it's what it's saying is that the older men are in this country,
the more likely they're masculine. But it looks like the guys in 1829, between ages of 18 and 29, might be fighting back. They may be taking a stand, Red Pill. Your generation is not going for this, huh?
Hey, Ted.
Yeah, definitely. a lot of young men that used to, you know, just grow up with and stuff, man, like, they're just, you know, acting so feminine and stuff. Like, oh, man, like, there's a motorcycle in the background. My bad, but it's the background noise. But, oh, wait, though. Wait, I'm gonna mute myself for a bit and just, you know, just
okay.
Talk later.
Right.
Yeah, just get together this background noise. So. All right.
Before I go on, I want to bring in two more phone calls. Area code 310 and 313. 310, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, gentlemen. It's West Coast. How you guys doing today?
West Coast.
Hey.
What's going on?
Hey.
Yeah, the topic. Once I read the topic, I just had to come in on this. So I've been listening to you guys and everything.
Cool.
But the answer is, and we all know, no, we built testosterone builds, estrogen don't build shit. That's the bottom line. So, you know, if society is to survive, men need to be put at the head, or should take the head, because if the ass is leading the head, everything going to get real shitty, bottom line. Matter of fact, it's shitty right now. Case closed. So that's what I have to say on the subject.
Okay. Hey,
Ted.
Hey, go ahead. Is that Sam?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
You're breaking up pretty bad, but hopefully you can hear me. I had said this was over 80 years old. This is nothing new. This was planned a long time ago. What this is and what it's going to be is what I've been studying for decades. This is the new world order. This is not by accident. This is all planned, and it's going. I mean, I'm just keeping it real. I'm not being superficial.
Indeed.
Or hopeful. This is the new world order. We may not experience it to its completion, but this is all by design. And I'm telling you, this is everything I studied decades ago is what's happening now. Everything they said was going to happen, even back in the 50s and 60s, and I heard the video audio tapes, is what's going on exactly right now. This is all planned. This is way beyond our comprehension. This is, I'm going to say it, well, you may agree or disagree, but this is the new world order. It's going to fulfill itself.
This is not
by accident.
Can I add something on to what you were saying real quick, SW?
Sure.
Of course.
Just out of curiosity, it just hit my mind that maybe even slavery was a thing by design as well, man, if you think about it.
I haven't studied slavery to that aspect, so I can't really comment on that, but I have studied the New World Order, and everything they said it was going to do has taken place. Well, a lot of it, but it even hasn't even came halfway to its completion yet. This is going to be crazy.
Yes, sir. Just think about it, because if some people have been in this country, Ted, they talking about tens of thousand years long before any Europeans and, you know, any of the Spanish people here that came over here. So somebody lying to you.
Yeah,
with regards to the caller who's talking about the New World Order. I don't know if you were listening, but I already alluded to that about a half an hour ago. Yeah.
Well, it's happening. I remember back, I started studying this back in 1993. The microchips, the riots, the vaccines, the diseases, everything, the going to other planets, the aliens, everything that they're saying has came to fruition. And it hasn't even really begun yet. What's going to happen, we won't be here to see it to completion, but trust me, this is all by design. This stuff didn't just happen out of the blue. It's the reason why the government gives the mothers the children, trying to put down the men, making all these laws and diseases and what they call the population control. And trust me, this right here is way beyond anything a lot of people would be willing to accept. It's not by accident. This is all by design.
Hey,
Hold on, Rick. In a nutshell, what's the end game? So, because if you depopulate the planet, what's the end game? What's the reason for depopulation?
that's my understanding, Ted. They're trying to keep the population to a certain level.
Kendrick, hold on, hold on. I'm asking Sam a direct question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Population.
You're breaking up really bad. I see your lips moving on the TV screen, but I can't really hear you.
All right. Can everyone else hear me?
Yeah. And Kendrick, yep. Do you want to relay the question or should I?
You can go ahead.
Okay. Sam, Ted was asking you, what's the end game
for the population? Yeah, I can hear you fine. I just can't hear Ted for some reason. I can hear everybody else fine.
Yeah, nah, I know. I'm going to relay the question that he's asking to you. He's asking, what do you think the end game is for the New World Order, the reason for the depopulation?
You starting to break up, too. What was that again?
Oh, okay. He's asking, why do you think the New World Order's end game is depopulation?
Why do I think the New World Order is depopulation?
The end game, yeah.
Well, they're going to start a whole. They're going to start an entire new civilization. As we, life as we know it, as far as humanity, morals and principles are going to be completely eradicated and just renewed. It's going to be pretty much just an entirely new. It's just a new world. We live in the old world. They're going to just start a whole new civilization, and that's, I can't really put it no simpler than that. As far as the mindset. Sex won't mean anything. Money not going to mean anything. Everything is going to be, it's pretty much going to be a worldwide slavery. This is not bad, trust.
I know. And there are figures being thrown around that they want the population down to 500 million. I've heard other figures of 500,000. My particular perspective on it is that they want the population so that it'll be easier to control the planet. But their real end game is to have immortality. They want to fuse, it's transhumanism. They want to fuse their consciousness with an android body in order to become gods. Since they can't really can't become
like
metaphysical gods, then they want to
let's
become
media.
Gods
media
powered
is pretty
by
much,
computer.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Media
I'm finished.
Pretty much is the teacher. A lot of people worldwide, everything they know, the older people know better. But the newer generation, the people who haven't been born yet and the people who are very young, all the thing they're going to know is what the media tells them. They're already programmed.
Well,
we already got children 3-4 years old being told that there's no difference between men, boys and girls.
No,
they're already
true.
Being told to pretty much forget everything that you thought you knew. We're going to reprogram you to what we want you to be. And they're starting that pretty much almost childbirth now.
They already did that. So, and Japan and Germany.
No, they haven't done anything yet.
They have. Japan and Germany did that as that's how they trained their people to go into World War II. That's exactly what they did.
Well, I'm going to put it like this here. Now, I'm not going to say it because this may be too deep for your talk show, and I don't want to start any controversy, so I'm not going to say what I know is going to happen. I'm just going to say this here. They didn't build all these nuclear bombs for no reason.
Right.
Them bombs ain't going to just sit there until they're just,
they're
there for a reason. They're going to start a whole new civilization. They don't care how many people they got to eradicate or get rid of. They're going to start an entirely new civilization. It's a lot of
who
stuff that's beyond our comprehension that's going to take place.
Who is they?
If I don't, man, I call them the powers that be. I mean, that's all
okay,
I can really say. I can't say
no,
that they are.
Technically, a 13 family.
Hey, listen. When people say they, it get real vague. But if somebody says, hey, the 13 families are the 1%, then we know.
Well, that's
when
like
they
this,
say,
everything we know now, people already don't talk to each other. You can have 50 people walking down the sidewalk, every last one of them looking at the telephone. No one's talking to each other. Relationships now are not based upon communities. They're based upon the internet. You already got people getting all kind of microchips in them, getting vaccines. They don't have no idea what's in these vaccines. People are just being told what to do and what to think and what's right and what's wrong. They're being told. Nature tells us everything we need to do. But they're going against nature and telling them, no, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. And we are older. We understand. We see what's going on. But the younger generation have no idea, and there's nothing that can be done about it. They're just going to be brought up in that aspect.
Excuse me. The younger generation and the females don't, because you know females, hey, they go with whatever's going to work for them, and they're very easy to be influenced, especially if they're getting. Give me a minute. I'm not done, player. S Dub, hold on, cuz. Especially if they getting, if they feel like they getting what they need, which is to be pedestalized, make life easy, you know, everything that makes them feel good about them. They don't give a fuck about nothing else. They don't. By nature, they do not care.
Well, that's the thing. They put a woman in a position where they feel they're above men, give women all the power, because they know if they control the women, they're going to control everything. They get rid of the men and make the men think they're women and think like women. That's a wrap. Checkmate. If they get rid of the men mentality, get rid of masculinity, get rid of anything that got to do with men, males, anything of that nature, it's checkmate.
But the thing about it is, Sam, it's backfiring on them because men don't woke up.
Well, the older men have. We have younger men, but the point I'm making, I'm talking about generations that haven't been born yet.
Oh, okay.
It's beyond our comprehension. I comprehend it, but it's hard to explain. But trust me, man, this is not by accident. This is everything we're seeing now. It's by design.
Hey, Sam,
a lot of people, if they Wi-Fi cut off, if the government right now decides to get rid of all internet, a lot of people would be helpless. They wouldn't know how to function.
Excuse me, Sam. Do you remember last week when I said if the power grid go out and you bring that satellite down, what the hell is gonna happen?
Yes. Someone brought up on I know it had re in front of it. I can't really think of the word behind it, but it was like pretty much just reset. Yeah, reset. Reset.
Yeah.
That's what it is. They're going to do a reset. And this, I ain't trying to start no drama. I ain't trying to start no scare. They're going to do a reset.
Hey, Sam.
You telling the truth.
Do you know the reset has happened 4 times already?
I'm going to speak on what I see now. In my lifetime, I can't really go back before I was born.
No. I'm talking about very ancient history. Your reset has happened 3 times, 4 times already.
When, Ted?
Yeah, reset has happened before. And man tried to sweep. Mankind has been down this path.
I can't really hear you because I set the TV up, and that'll give you background noise. Because for some reason, I can hear the people on the phone, but I can't really hear you.
All right, that's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm gonna move on with this video.
Our friend and husband, his ambition, his desire to work and achieve, to take on the challenges of the world. They should appreciate his desire to protect, defend, and provide. They should admire and support his dreams, his noble ambitions, his desire to repair and build. All of these things are worthy of admiration. When men are permitted to reach their full potential, they become great leaders, brave soldiers, and loving husbands and fathers. Open any history book and you will find countless examples of men who changed the world. Rather than telling men to deny their own nature, as a society, we should be encouraging them to embrace the powerful force that is masculinity.
Thank you so much for watching, everyone. Before we go, we just wanted to let you know that if you would like to support...
You know what that video was about, Ted? It's a brainwashing video. It's not about the respect and appreciation of men. It's about men, do not verge away from your protection and providing duties so that we can be protected and provided by you while you take the risk and get shot in the back and shot in the front. That's what it is.
Why I was asking what you guys thought of this.
Yeah, excuse me, fellas. I had to jump in. I want to hear some elaborations on what this gentleman just said. Break it down. Let me hear it. West Coast.
What thing are you saying in specific? Elaboration on what?
What Joe from Montana, Idaho, wherever that place is. I like what he said. It's very deep, and I want guys to dig into that, and I want to hear everybody's opinion on it. It sounds real interesting.
Gotcha.
Let's hear it.
So from what you're saying, Joe, is they disguise themselves as sweet, innocent, feminine voices saying that men should be cherished.
They're disguising themselves as proponents of men to respect and appreciate men, when in reality what they're really saying is, men, stay where you are, because your toxic masculinity fulfills a purpose, and that purpose is to protect and provide for us while we stay in the background. You are in the foreground, you're in country, you're in the battlefield, and we're in air-conditioned offices. That's what the whole thing is about.
Okay.
Because to them, their power lies in, it's like George Bernard Shaw said, once said, is that the weakness of women is like a woman saying that, is like a man saying a horse is weak because he can ride the horse. Because the men are the ones that build, are the innovators, and are the ones that protect and provide. But we are the ones who do the risk. Women traditionally do not, well, only thing they risk is maybe getting fired from a job. Especially with the laws nowadays, what are they risking? They get alimony, they get palimony, they get child support. That means they get anti-love insurance when the marriages fail. If a man comes home and says, you know, sweetheart, I got fired from my job today, or I'd like to change my job and do some freelance work and pursue my real dream of being an artist, that chick says, well, good luck, because I'm divorcing you.
Right, okay? Right.
We're the warriors. That means we risk PTSD, our limbs being blown off, and death. Women, when they do fight, they fight behind the line, and they do provide a valuable service, but it's usually like MASH, medical services, supply services. And they can fly planes, but they do not go into battle. Since they don't go into battle, they do not know what it's like to experience true agonizing fear. Women have a lot of audacity. They do not have a lot of courage.
They don't put their lives on the line. They won't even take jobs where their lives are on the line, like oil coal mines, all those things where you can die.
Ted, so let me ask you and Mr. Joe this. Can any of you gentlemen explain to me what was going on during World War II? I'm hoping I'm getting this right. World War II, and that lady made that poster with a sleeve rolled up with the rag on the head, talking about some women take these jobs to help men out during the war or something. I believe it was around World War II.
It was. I forgot the name of them, but they were...
What were the old women doing?
They took over the jobs while the men went to fight World War II. And then when the men came back to want their jobs, a lot of the women said, uh-uh, you don't get them back. We're here now. There was a name for them, something or other, Millie Rock. I know what you're talking about. She had... The posters with the women with it. She's flexing her muscles. She has red
rose is something. I can't never think of the lady's name.
No, but he answered your question. That's what it was about. But to add to your question, Kendrick, what you don't hear about is when they needed more supplies, whether it was weapons, parachutes, whatever it was, tanks. The women had to work longer hours, and injuries went up 150%. When the same hours were imposed on men, there were no increase in injuries. So women were not good at working the hours men could do. They were not equal.
Interesting point. I didn't know that. I'm glad you told me.
No one talks about that. So.
Working the hours that men could do.
Hey, I'm going to bring in another call. Go on mute. I've got Erico 111. Not sure who that is, but you're the next caller up. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, hi, Ted. Richard, how are you?
Hey, Richard, thanks for calling. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I was just noticing this subject here. And I was reading your adept comments, and they're good. This is crazy. And it's men's fault, by the way, because you have men who really think and act like women. They basically, that's the way they act. They're not honest. They're full of shit. And they support women in women's insanity. Women can't build, let me back up a minute. Women can do most of what men do. They really can. The military did a survey, and I think this is germane. They did a survey where 16 weeks, and they brought women up to about 75 or 80% of the upper body strength of men. All right? But the problem is, and this is the issue, I believe, women have a choice, and that's what feminism was supposed to do. In society, women can complain to ascend in the tertiary sector, you see, and that's really what they're fighting for. They're not fighting for the primary and secondary jobs, in other words, extracting the ore, manufacturing it. They want to be in the upper level, in the management positions, which were supposed to be for the men who accomplished at the lower level. So they want to bypass the whole structure that has been set up, what we call the hierarchical structure, and they want to go to the very goddamn top. That's what they want to do, and then complain if they don't get there. Jordan Peterson talks about this very, very well. He presents some very profound principles. Women are basically full of shit, and the women who aren't full of shit are sitting back applauding the women who are full of shit. We men are taking it in the shorts due to our own ineptness. It's our incompetence, that, especially in Western society, that we allow these loudmouths, no-doers, to be in the most powerful positions. I mean, women are judges. They're in all kinds of positions that men have discovered and perfected, as it were. And then they talk about, I think you referenced this, toxic masculinity. But the real problem is women don't build, women don't maintain. Men have built civilization, and they've civilized it so well to both men and, I'm sorry, strike that, both women and men to a great degree are not cognizant how important men really are. Without men in key positions of infrastructure, like the power grid particularly, society breaks down. It breaks down completely. No lights, no water, none of the modern conveniences. So men are the ones who produce that and sustain it. Women could not even maintain what men have built. Now, I worked in construction for a short while, and then I advanced. But I know what it's like. And all the women did was complain. I've heard many, many stories paralleling that. That's all they do is complain. But the point is, again, women can do the work. They can be trained to do the work, absolutely. But they don't want to. They have your ass to do it, and then they can complain about you not doing it, the way they want it done. So it's really ridiculous. If it wasn't serious, Richard, we'd be laughing at this situation where we find ourselves.
My West Coast brother, I've been telling these guys for 3 weeks, that's the bottom damn line. It's too much comfort. If that power grid, somebody went out there and pulled the power on the power grid, bring that satellite dish down, this shit would be over immediately.
Okay.
And I use that I'm sorry, that's the sine qua non. That's the essential essence of the argument right there, the power grid. But also the foods. Food is also, look, only 2% of the people feed the other 98%. And those are virtually all males. All males. Women really don't produce a damn thing. The building that women have to go into, men build it. The roads women drive on, men build it. And if you look up a guy, and I'm not demeaning anybody, but I'm just saying, it was Dr. Earl Haas. I think his name is pronounced Haas, H-A-A-S.
There was something
else. He invented the modern tampon. Women didn't even invent that hygiene project.
Hey, I told guys that the other day. Go ahead, Joe.
Richard. Yeah, this will be only 10 seconds. Yeah, you had mentioned something last week. Let's say 20 seconds. You mentioned something last week, which I thought I was the only one that had mentioned it until you had said it. When you had said women are really no fun, I had come to that conclusion years and years ago. Women had no sense of humor. There have been articles written about women not having sense of humor, and that's why we have very, very few comedians. But that was an observation which we haven't talked about yet, is that women really are not that much fun to be with. So I just wanted to say
absolutely,
that. Now, go ahead,
because they spend all their time bitching about men and what men aren't. Look, if there's no man in the room, women can't pin anything on anybody. It's only a man that they can pin the problems that they cause on or up on. And so the thing is that men just have to, I think, get more wise as to how valuable they are.
Right.
You know, and
okay,
then start
Richard.
To promote that.
Okay,
because
Richard.
The legal
Richard,
system,
I
look, women have hijacked the legal system. And women are
Richard,
smart. Don't get me wrong. They are very exploitative, and they're manipulative. They're extremely, and what I mean by that is they unjustly enrich themselves with men's labor. That's
Richard,
what socialism is all about in America, is transferring resources from from men to women. And women have hijacked the legal system, which is one of the most powerful systems in our civilized society. But let me just say this, because I like to talk about the solution. The solution is to allow women to burn themselves out, force them to do all the shit that equality demands, and I guarantee you, you'll see women raising the white flag of fucking surrender. Force them to do everything their equality demands. Military service, coming back in body bags, all the jobs that men do, dangerous, dirty jobs, require women to do those jobs. Go ahead.
Or just, I'll say it quick, or tell them they have to work their way up the way men did. That means you have to start at the bottom.
Yeah, hey, Ted, you're right, because you know how many companies talking about every company, they have to have a woman as a CEO on the board, or that's a problem. I mean, not that she deserves to be there, but they just have to have one. So when Richard was talking earlier, I mean, him and Joe, they wasn't bringing nothing but gems to the table. Joe and Richard were bringing gems to the table. Nobody wanted to really acknowledge that, but those two gentlemen tonight brought gems to the table, and I'm going to give them much props for that. Okay?
I'm along with you.
Well, Richard, I think everybody here agrees with you. I'm not talking about Richard from West Coast. I'm talking about Richard.
Joe, it's not about whether they agree with me. I'm acknowledging you two gentlemen as bringing gems to the table. The guys need to sit there and absorb it and to acknowledge the gems that y'all brought to the table, okay?
I'm
giving y'all love.
I'm appreciating the props you're giving us, but you've already stated that in other episodes as well. I think everybody here has the same attitude toward, but I don't even want to call them women. I call them females.
Hey, you went deep tonight.
No? Okay.
Listen. You went deep. Not that you don't go deep other nights, but you went deep tonight, and Richard went deep tonight, And I had a question for him, like, what do we need to do? But basically, yeah, we need to make them accountable and responsible for decisions, what they want. They want to be equal, make them equal. You know, make them get out there and pull a sledgehammer, the jack, construction, sanitation. I mean, every dirty, grimy, physical job the men do, they need to step on up to the plate. We know they're not going to do it, so that's how we win. Let the infrastructure kind of suffer.
I don't know about that, Reed.
Why you say that, Doug?
Because if you think about it, because they're like Chris told you about that other incident with that other breed, and they rushed that thing along and caught themselves trying to do what a man do, and then they mess around and kill some folks. Well, I don't know if you kept up with the news, Reed, but over there, County Bridge.
Yeah, I remember
got a
one
crack
eight.
On it, man.
Yeah,
that
no,
bridge,
I remember
the bridge where I stayed now. It got a crack, man.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Yeah,
and
the
inspector
just
got
mad,
man.
No,
this dude here, got fired. He messed around with the crack going no.
Guess who got blamed for that? Was men for passing the inspection or something like that. So they were able to try to get out of that in a way. I remember that.
But this bridge I'm talking about now, the Memphis Bridge, going into Memphis, Tennessee.
Bro, I heard about
when
that.
When I tell you, I know you ain't, but that's what I'm trying to get you up to date. Man, they found a crack on that thing from back since 2019, man, and they fired the dude that was supposed to inspect the thing. He was under suspicion, too. So I don't know what kind of charges he getting, but man, they trying to fix that thing, and man, don't you not know how much
cars,
traffic tied up, Reg, all that traffic tied up right now to one bridge. So what they trying to do now, they trying to hurry up and fix it. But you can rest the show. I'm gonna say this and shut up. It's some men just over there right now working on that bridge, Reg. They ain't trying to make no repeats. They trying to get that bridge fixed.
Look here. I'd like to share this. Unless someone else is it someone else's turn?
No, go ahead. Speak, my brother.
I just want to
look
speak.
Here. What I would say, look, now men today, men are wonderful. Men are the builders. They're the sustainers. I have a lot of respect for men. One of the things that I would suggest that is doable right now, and I think this is so important. Most women are what we call attention whores, and I'm not saying that to be inflammatory. That's absolutely true. A lot of women just keep men in their ambit, in their area of influence, to get favors, to get attention. They'll never have sex with men, and we need to say what we want. One of the things that men don't do, and they've been made to feel ashamed what they want from women. So it's a one-way unilateral discussion. What women want from men and what men are doing to women that women don't like. And when you add that out, what it equals, it's all about women. And I do mean all. Now, what men could start doing, and I gave a good example the other night. If you date like I do, stop taking women out on first dates and paying for it. It's already been shown that women are narcissistic, they suffer from psychopathy and Machiavellianism, and that's called the triad, the evil triad or something like that. I just got back from exercising, so I'm a little bit hyped up. But the thing is, the dark triad is what it's called. And so what happens is a lot of women have learned to parasite off of men and just go out with them to get meals, free meals. They don't give a shit about the man. They're just going out for the meal. So what men can do, because women have ruined this, is stop buying meals for women until you know the woman is interested in you. And I think maybe a guy or two was poo-pooing when I shared last weekend, or maybe weekend before last, whatever. don't take a woman other than to a coffee shop or to a park. Now, those are healthy places to take a woman if she's interested in you. If she's not interested in you, then you know she wants these other trappings that you have to pay for. And she likes to guilt you into paying for them. And a lot of stupid men do that, too. Don't allow men to shame you into paying for women. It's very expensive. Now, with me, it has nothing to do with the expense per se, although I don't believe in wasting money. It's a principle involved. And that is, she doesn't deserve a damn thing until she shows herself worthy.
Okay.
Now, if she exclaims,
I say that all the time with Ted. Yeah, that's what I keep trying to tell Ted. We're interested. I keep telling them, hey, they have to earn every damn, even your time.
Your attention, right.
That's what, your time, energy. Hey, everybody don't deserve, all these hoes don't deserve the dick, okay? I don't give a damn how good they look, you know, or how good they think they look, or whatever it is. They don't deserve that. Everything they need to earn, because everything that they looking, you know, they think that their body is everything, but they want tangible resources from a man. Your time is a tangible resource. You could be out making money while you over there screwing with her. Okay, you be doing some other things for yourself. So, you know, guys need to understand, look at a lot broader. Even your time and your attention should be tangible resources. You know, you
right, and make her show her hand. Make her demonstrate what she's really about. Because I'm telling you, so many westernized women, American women specifically, they have nefarious purposes. Their purposes are not honorable. They're there to parasite off of you. A relationship should be a symbiotic relationship, not a parasitic relationship.
Yeah.
And what has happened, they have blind men to what they need by complaining. If a man, look, just like a woman doesn't want to be bent over and taken advantage of sexually, a man doesn't want to be bent over and taken advantage of financially. Raping his wallet, I call it. That's exactly what women will do.
Well,
and they have reservations about doing that.
Well, she's only been taken advantage of if she comes to find out it's not a guy that she really doesn't really want and desire. That's why this is what it is. You have to make, I keep saying this, I don't want to be redundant on a lot of stuff, because I really do believe that a lot of this stuff is really like basic math if you really look at it. If she's not really willing to work, then she really doesn't want to be with you. Because trust me, if she sees something that she wants, now the problem is what she's looking for, is it you or what you represent that's going to benefit her? That's the parasite, which I have to tell you, a woman nature, female nature, is parasitic whore. She's an extractor. That's a whore.
Right.
So I just use the word. Okay?
Let me say this. In Western society, we have no model for dating. And that's where women have gotten the advantage. If you go back roughly 50 to 100 years, women were the ones who invited the men to their, because relationships were much more serious. So the woman would generally invite the man to her house for dinner, this sort of thing that she prepared, maybe with a little assistance from her mother, but mainly she prepared the meal. And if anything was serious, they went to church together. You know, in other words, they did real things. Today, all the woman wants, and they've been pretty much able to codify this, is to get men to pay up front for a meaningless experience with the woman. Because she wasn't even there for you, as an interest in you. And a lot of men have been behind guilting men, calling men cheap and this kind of stuff. Look, men, hold on to your money. Don't spend money on a strange woman until you know she's interested in you. And that's usually after you've had protected sex with her. Okay?
Right.
Usually.
Hey, Rich, I'd like to elaborate here. Now, as Ted will back me is, hey, when I meet a chick, I'll be like, hey, picnic. I always say, I got the wine or champagne in the music.
That's my shit test. He said, oh, why you want to do that? I said, picnic. I said, I have the wine, the champagne, and the music. I have the drink. That's what I'm bringing. So I'm making her, you know, to show me what time it is.
Right. And the other thing, look, two things. Paying for dates, initiating. This is, and I've been talking about this for years. Now, some other men, and it's talked about on the internet, and that's a great thing. But women need the accountability for initiating dates. All of that pressure
and
time wasting should not be put on a man. See, women don't know what it's like. The average woman doesn't ask men for dates. They expect men to do this without any recognition or appreciation. See, men are just used as carrier tids in this society. In fact, if you read Dr. Warren Farrell's book, and I recommend that you do, The Myth of Male Power, he talks about the disposability of men. And that's the reason women can see us, see men this way. And I'm talking about, I'm talking about all women. Because what the law gives one woman, all of them have the opportunity to take advantage of men, and they do. If you look at all the pictures on TV, the shows, they show the man as being the idiot, married with children. And I don't watch TV too much, but there are a bunch of them, and they show men as being incompetent boobs. And that's ridiculous. Men build all the shit, and they maintain all the shit. And yet, men are made to look like fools, and women are made to look like heroes, and women can't fix anything. They can't repair anything. Wait on a woman to repair your car. And I look for this very, very meticulously. I look for women who are competent at doing real skills, and there are very, very, very few, very few. And I got to give them props for it. They don't have to. They can force us to do it and then kick us in the ass and complain about it. Amazing.
Yeah, but guess what, Rick? I heard a woman say, hey, we don't have to do that. That's what we got y'all for.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Men are seen in the eyes of Western women as disposable, worthless, just there as an emotional tampon, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And so I say take the battle to the enemy. Women have presented themselves, unfortunately, and I don't mean this absolutely, absolutely literally, but I mean it.
What you say it is then? If it's not absolute, then what is it? Because female nature hasn't changed since Adam and Eve, so what is it?
Well, look, I think there's some decent women. The possibility or the probability of meeting them is just very, very minute.
Okay, then.
I would say about 80 to 85% of women
So you're going to get on a plane that has 85% of crashing. Are you going to get on that plane? Yes or no?
Well, hell no.
No,
come
yes
on.
Or no. Yes
what's
or no, bro.
No,
get on
what's
plane.
The point?
Hmm?
I'm saying about 85%, but look, the reason women are this way is because men have allowed it. If men could direct society, the way we have in one way or another, we could certainly control women. All we have to do is just hold them to, I say, 20% responsibility. That's it. If you hold women to 20% responsibility, I would say right now it's close to zero, maybe a tenth of a percent responsibility. It's very, very low, the responsibility to which we – number one, they're not required to defend the country.
Mm-hmm.
They're not required and look, let's put it this way. I heard through reliable sources – only 10% of the men that were drafted in World War II actually saw combat. The rest of the men acted as support. Now, if women are considered unfit for combat, and I'm not saying that they are, I believe certain women should be put on the front lines.
Yeah, the police
officers, competent,
the security
like
officers,
men.
The ones who strap the one walking around here like
let me just finish this thought,
yeah,
if you don't mind. There are plenty of women that could act in support roles. Okay, and so I'm saying that men, if they don't sign up for the military, which is very important. This is exceedingly important. Most men don't get how important this is. That's the reason the judge can make you pay child support and all this other shit and alimony is because you are seen officially as the provider protector of women. No matter how free they are, you still saddle with the legal responsibility of being provider protector. That's where all of that, I would say, drifts down or sifts down from. And so women should at least be required to register and do those support jobs. Go ahead.
I'm gonna be quiet and let some of the other gentlemen jump on in.
Oh, I'm just saying make it vote, and, gentlemen.
Well, the thing I say, tell women you want them to initiate. First of all, figure out what you want from a woman. Because a lot of men, we're having this conversation right now, but a lot of men really don't have any requirements for women.
Richard.
They just want a woman around.
Hold on, Richard.
Well,
figure out what you want from a woman and have that as
a
requirement.
Well, that's individual things because that all depends on the lifestyle of the man now.
No, well, what do you mean it's in the – well, let me just say this. What women want is pretty consistent.
Richard, hold on.
If from every man she's with, she wants his money. She wants his protection.
Richard, hold on.
You know, Dr. Warren Farrell, in that book I just mentioned, The Myth of Male Power, every time you're with a woman, she expects you to be an unpaid bodyguard. That's right. If something happens that's violent, she expects you to put your life on the line for her.
Right, right. Hold on, Richard. Hold on. Just hold tight. Hold up. Hold tight. One of the challenges is men actually created this environment.
Well, we know that, Pete.
No, they created it by one-upping one another, and they haven't stopped. So all the guys who think they're going to go to Dominican Republic, Colombia, Brazil, and wherever else, the same things they did here in the U.S. to create women who feel entitled are the same things they're doing in other countries. And by no surprise, the outcome is the same. Those women are now starting to feel entitled. You're getting the same result. So men haven't figured out that they are really the problem. Because as you were saying, Richard, at one time, and this probably ended in the early 80s, mid-80s, what you said about dating, women used to have you come to their house and they cooked for you. That's how it went down. She showed that she could cook, and sex may not have happened except you were getting to know her. And if she still lived at home, right, her mother may have helped. Her father was in the next room. And it was serious. You wanted to get to know if this woman was a match. And it's, Richard, what you were saying before, men have to learn how to qualify women. So back then, men had a criteria for qualifying a woman. But they went from qualifying her to, hey, you had to cook for that guy. I'll take you out to the movies and buy you ice cream. And the next guy says, well, I'll buy you an expensive dinner. And the next guy is buying clothes and a car and all these other things. And so women didn't expect that in the beginning. But once they saw guys would compete that way, they just took advantage of it. They just exploited.
Yeah.
But so there's an article that I read that is called How Civilizations Fall. It's the new criterion. And they said the reason...
Ted, I don't mean to cut you off. Ted, I'm going to bounce. I got to be at work. I need some little sleep. But I enjoyed tonight and whatever. And I'll check the rest out later on at work tonight. Okay? You got to take care.
Cool. Hey, Greg, just hear this one thing. The reason why women push feminism is not because they had problems and they were oppressed. They were bored. Men made so many conveniences for women. They didn't have to wash clothes in a river and hang them out. They had washers and dryers. They had so many conveniences. They didn't know what to do with their leisure life is really the problem that we have here.
So what you're saying is we made things too easy for them. And that's basically what you're saying. And they haven't made a damn thing easy for us. Like my man Richard said, they didn't even make tampons, which I told a bitch the other night. I said, y'all didn't even create tampons. How does tampons benefit a man? That benefits y'all. But go ahead.
Well, so this is the problem. What women just have had, they didn't know what to do in their life of leisure, and they thought, well, they wanted to be like men, and they wanted to experience the fulfillment men have at work. But now that they have it, they want all these special privileges. They want maternity leave. They take more sick leave. They want time off the period. So, you know, it's hey. Go ahead.
Ted, this is my retirement job. Ted, I got 51 hours of overtime. I got 48 now just because these bitches don't want to come to work. Are they mad? Because one chick got upset with the supervisor because her fat ass couldn't make it, right? So he called her. Then she called and complained and told me she don't want to come back and work there no more because the supervisor was not sympathetic to the fact that she's an obese bitch and her foot has swollen up. And so if she had lost fucking weight, then I could get some fucking rest. You know what I mean? I like the money, but I don't need it. I need the rest. And by the way, I just closed on that house the other day. Say congratulations. But anyway, so basically that is the problem. Ted, I see that I'm in the workforce. I mean, I love the money that I'm making. Not that I need it or whatever, but they don't want to come to work. And a lot of them are women, and I explained it to them. She got upset. She does not want to come make money at this contract because she feels that the supervisor there was not sympathetic to the fact that her foot swole up and she couldn't come to work. And all he did was call to ask when she was going to come back to work or whatever. That's all she did. I started laughing. I said, there we go.
So they
know what I'm saying?
They have it too easy. They don't know. So they think what they want is for men. They're still saying they don't need a man. Women think what they want is to not have men here. And they believe to build a city, all you need to build a civilization, you just build roads and bricks and all that stuff has been done. But they don't understand all that goes behind it. The vision, the leadership, the finance, the accounting, the structure, educate. Like there's so much that goes into it that they have no idea what it takes for men to maintain a civilization. Hell, even just to maintain a company and to get a company to stay in perpetuity, you need to innovate new things. Women don't
don't see the deepness. Only thing they care about is the surface. They're not going to look at the deepness of everything that has to go into to making everything work. They're not going to do that. That's basically what you're saying. You understand, Ted?
And that's why I'm asking the question, right? But I don't think they fully comprehend what it takes. But they believe they don't need us. And maybe like what Joe said earlier is if they knew how to use robots and AI, they could have the robots do all the things, the dirty work that men do, the heavy work, the heavy lifting. The robots are more advanced than people realize. We just don't see it. They really think they can do this without us. And I heard what you were saying, Richard. You know, there's some level of things, there's some capabilities. But like I said, in World War II, when they had to almost double the hours women worked, women, the injuries went up 150% is the number they recorded. And the men who were still left behind to work, when they doubled their working hours, no additional accidents. So you put more pressure on women to actually perform like men, and they fall, they crack, they start to crack.
Thing about it is, Ted, a man's body just built to take punishment and abuse.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm a prime example of that.
I'm about to go in tonight and stuff on the 12 hours. I've been working 12, 16 hours. I mean, I'm on call, and I'm taking abuse, bro. I'm taking abuse. At 55, I'm taking abuse, bro.
Right, and someone just said sewage maintenance, construction, et cetera, women aren't willing to do that. They're not.
Sanitation.
Right. Hell, working on an oil rig, they don't want to go down in the coal mines. They don't want the drilling for iron ore, all of those things. And even if you decide you want to build everything from compost and, recycle everything, that's still a dirty job. You have to get all this trash and recycling and metal. That's still a dirty job. They've been unwilling.
Well,
understand.
Well, Ted, they've got to be allowed the opportunity to crack.
Hold on, Richard.
Because the thing is, the legal foundation.
They have all
the legal rights and what we call under public policy.
Even the technology that's required to make these kinds of leaps in society, whether it's self-driving cars or like all this math and science and the algorithms, computer sciences, they are not dominating those forces, and they're thinking that they can just move forward without men who do this. And yes, they have the courts on their side, but even men have allowed that. It's almost like we allowed the enemy from within. So instead of having barbarians at the gate, we have an internal erosion of society from the inside.
All right,
right,
Jim,
but
I gotta get 30 minutes nap. I'll get back with y'all later, okay?
Thanks, man.
Take care.
Well, Ted, I like right, what y'all. You're saying, and what you're saying has a lot of foundation. That's why we need to start. They say, how does one eat an elephant one bite at a time?
Every
man can start at the attention whore level of that women, the vast majority of women operate at. Have her be responsible for initiating. See, we're talking about these very advanced and upper hierarchical things, robotics and this sort of thing. Now, there are jobs that they can do there, but we need to hold them accountable for doing those jobs. See, that's the thing. They've got to be held responsible to the extent that their equality dictates. They have full equality. They need to be – the other thing, shame is very important. Women need to be shamed into doing the right thing. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. They need to be told, look, you need to do these basic jobs that men have done. They didn't just shoot for the top. How the hell do you think men advanced to the top? They started at the bottom or close to the bottom. And see, that's the thing. We've got to hold them accountable. That's the whole thing. And you said it a moment ago that men keep trying to do this one-upsmanship when women used to have to, you know, cook a dinner for a man or, you
right.
know, and show him that she was wife material and worthy. It's society was better. Men and women got along better. And then one asshole man will come along and say, you know, you don't have to cook. I'll take you to dinner. And then that's why I'm saying to men, at least that I can speak to and we can talk about this thing, because it's out of control. Even
it
women
is.
Are acknowledging that women are out of control.
Absolutely. Right. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, women are talking about, for example, you go on the Internet, why men aren't asking women out for dates anymore. I mean, shit, a man takes his life and career in his hands if he even approaches a woman, if he asks her out. And if you look at the EEO statistics, Equal Employment Opportunity, most of the complaints are filed as a result of men asking women for dates. Were you aware of that?
But, Mr. Richard, let me eject. I guarantee you. A lot of those complaints wouldn't be made if it was the men that those women really wanted to sleep with, right? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I got you. But see, that's not the point. And you know, let me just say this. That's what makes sexual harassment so insidious. Like things like discrimination against religions, so-called ethnicity, all of those things are fixed and they're never fungible. However, just as the gentleman said, and I don't know your name, sir, but just as you said, sexual harassment is dependent upon the woman's perception. If she likes it, it's not harassment. It's harassment only if she doesn't like it. So guy one, guy A, could do such and such, look under her dress, you know, whatever, feel on her ass, although I wouldn't advise that, especially in the workplace. But right. Guy B tries to do the same thing, and all of a sudden she's trying to, quote, unquote, get the bag. So it's very, very, it's not concrete. Okay, it's very flexible. It's very interpretive. So, like sexual harassment. But see, women need to understand men's reality. We understand their reality because we build and maintain everything that their reality consists of. But they don't understand men's reality. And I would say it's going to be incumbent upon men to show them men's reality. Otherwise, they're never going to volunteer to see it.
But
they're the most selfish, self-absorbed creatures there are.
But now, Mr. Richard, on the contrary, but if enough men still refuse to take these women on dates and engage with them in social activities or whatnot, still gonna have to come to the reality that these men facing post Me Too era. These men, a lot of these dudes scared to the fact that he can get caught up fooling around with some of these women. You know what I mean?
No, I'm not clear on what you said. Say that again, please.
I mean, that Me Too here done messed up a lot of men. They like, is it even worth it? You know what I mean? To even engage some of these women at. Some of these
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
what I'm saying. See, that's why
you know
women have got to be shown the whole reality, not just the side to where they complain about men, but the side that men can show them to where men have basically exempted them from reality. Like, for example, they don't have to live the real life, like building and maintaining civilization. Like the one guy was saying, this woman had swollen feet. She didn't want to go into work. And like Ted was saying, with the women, the injury rate went up. And a lot of that is because they're unfit. They don't have the muscle tone. They need to build their muscle tone up. Sure, if you have weak muscles, you know, like when you get ready to work out, you have to stretch and get your body in shape. Many times the reason women sustain injuries, and I understand that, is because their bodies are out of shape. They need to get in shape.
And then they're not built. A lot of times they're just simply not built for that hard, heavy lifting.
Well, when that's proven, in the cases where that's proven, well, what we'll do is we will make the necessary adjustments. We won't give them anything. We'll just say you're incapable. We'll treat them just like we would treat a man. You're inept in this particular position for X reasons. Therefore, you've got to do something else, period.
Richard,
we need to treat them just like we treat men. No different. And look here. Now, Joe said this last week, but I definitely talk about this. Transgender women are competing against regular women and kicking their butts in sports. And I'm okay with that because women wanted equality, right? Right.
Right.
They're getting it. Because there are certain these trans women have no mercy. They're women. They're transgender women, and they compete against what you would call biological women, for lack of a better term. And they kick their butts, and I'm fine with that.
Hold on, Richard. The big difference is biochemistry, and some women don't want to acknowledge that. So the biochemistry of a man is what makes him more aggressive. His bone density is much stronger. That's why some MMA guy who used to be a man was now a woman cracked the skull and competitive. And he's fighting against a woman who's good. at fighting, but he cracked their skull. Our bone density is not the same. Our muscle mass, our speed. I mean, you could look at running a marathon and say that, you know, running a marathon, you should be equal. But we just, biochemistry also affects our ability to take risks. That's why women are not as innovative, is because.
Right, but hold up a minute there, Ted.
Wait a minute.
Now, a man technically could crack another man's head, and
that's
they
true,
do.
Too.
Look at the concussions that men get in these highly competitive contact sports. The problem is this. The person who can take it, I mean, with all due respect and with all the equipment that we can create that will, you know, protect them, you know, because they're building better helmets and this kind of thing. But my point is this. I don't give a damn about the biology. I don't care about that. The reason I don't care about that is because women have equal rights. If they have, look, I can't play in the NFL or the NBA or the NHL, National Hockey League, and I'm a man. They're mostly men that operate at the extreme. What we got to realize is we all have to operate within our limitations, okay? So I don't give women a pass based on what you just said.
Hold on. I'm not giving women a pass. I'm saying they don't qualify is what I'm trying
to say. Okay, fine. I agree.
They
need the opportunity to fail.
That's the thing.
We've got to let them fail. And what happens is, I didn't know I would find myself in this position. Actually saying that the transgender women are more fair-minded in terms of equity than regular men or women. Because, you know, I listen to a lot of conservative radio, and I'm conservative to a larger degree. I'm conservative myself. But I hear these men, I've mentioned one man, Dennis Prager. He rails about what we're talking about right now, the transgender women competing against biological women. But see, on this subject, he's very, very mistaken. Women were the ones who fought for equality. And we're talking about equality of human beings. So whatever a human being, and I'm going back to concur with you, Ted, whatever a human being is capable of doing based on their natural abilities and conditioning, that's where they should fit in. If women can't compete against the transgender women, tough nuts.
Well,
that's what equality looks like.
Technically, Richard, what equality really looks like is eliminating the idea of male and female sports. You just have sports. You want to play basketball? There's one basketball team. The best people make the team. There's no such thing as a girl basketball team. There's no girl soccer team. There's no girl. There's no softball. You play baseball just like everyone else. And you get rid of this whole idea of male and female Olympics. You make the Olympic team, and the best people compete. That's it. That's what equality looks like.
Right, exactly. And that's what it needs to. Now, one thing I would say, one caveat, Ted, is that people, see, I believe in equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome. And see, most women want equality of outcome. Maybe some men do too, but when I hear the arguments, it's oftentimes women who want equality of outcome. In other words, they want the government to come in and give them really an advantage when they don't deserve it. So going back to the sports situation, if they can't compete against the transgender women, I say tough. Those are women. They have a right to compete. They are competing. They're winning against the women, I think, who are soft or too soft. You know, that's equality. That's the way it goes. They fought for equality. Now live with it.
Well, it's inclusion. They wanted inclusion and equality. They want to be in the men's locker room. So one of the solutions is, for a few decades, women have been on training wheels. They've been, so men build these companies, they risk their capital, they risk their lives, they risk losing their families, they risk that. How many men have failed in creating new industries? And you know, one winner emerges. So women haven't made that kind of investment. So they've now been begging men to work in the companies that men have risked everything to create. So now that they've gotten experience working in companies built by men, it's time for them to build companies with all women and really demonstrate the equality to which they've been telling us about. To take the training wheels off and go build Fortune 500 companies, go build your own female General Motors, go drill for oil and mine for iron and copper, be part of the 2% of the agricultural society. I mean, those are things that if men said, hey, look, we're going to take your training wheels off. You think we're oppressing you. So you're like the 16-year-old teenager who says, I don't want to follow the rules of my parents' house. So I'm going to go move on my own and find out what life is really like. And that's what we haven't given women. That's the outcome. You want to talk about equal, what did you say? They want equal opportunity, but they want equal outcome. So the equal outcome is to give them the full opportunity to function in the same capacity as men. And there are plenty of women who have millions, if not billions of dollars that they inherited from their husbands and fathers and grandfathers. So women have had the capital for more than a century. And that is we now, I think, are at the opportunity. If women really think they don't need men, we're at a crossroads where women can learn a lesson about what it's like to truly build and be equal to men. And I'm not sure men have to do that.
And here's the thing, Ted. I know it's old and cliche, but the more for you say a hard head make a soft behind, Ted. And I don't think, like you said, a lot of them women ain't learned it yet.
Men are so busy one-upping and worried about whether they're going to have sex with the woman.
That's the problem.
Well, we have this problem. Maybe the biggest problem is that women have had such a great life of leisure that they started complaining.
Oh, was it that a fact, Ted, that two men have been out here riding their carousel? I'm keeping the PG for you, Ted.
Yeah. I mean, that came later, but I'm saying that the way this started is women have had a great life of leisure, and they were just bored. So they didn't know what to do with all their leisure time.
I thought them women had plenty of things back there. Them housewives back then had a lot of things to do to fill their day.
No, they wanted to see what men were enjoying in life. They wanted a part of that. That's what they wanted.
Or is it the fact that they just trying to literally be a man? Is that what I'm assuming, Ted?
You know, that's one way to put it, or maybe they thought men were out. I mean, yes, it's fulfilling to have your job and do this. They just didn't have a clear grasp on what men were really risking while they're out there risking capital, risking their lives. They didn't understand the full spectrum of risk, but it seemed like so much fun that they wanted it. And as Richard was saying before, but they want to come in at the top. They don't want to work their way from the bottom. And from the bottom doesn't have to mean that you're digging the ditch. It may mean that you're investing your capital in an idea with no proof is going to happen. That's the bottom. That's entry level, and it could fail. They don't want to risk that. Like, think about all the oil refinery companies that failed. In 1920, there were over 100 automobile manufacturers in the U.S. alone. Most of them failed. And before that, there was more than 100. I forget what the number was. So what I'm getting at is women don't see the amount of businesses that fail, the amount of risk men take, and they're not willing to do that. That's starting at the bottom, coming in when there's nothing there. And that's not even counting the industries where it wasn't even an industry. Who knew that people were going to buy cell phones? Even a telephone back in the late 1800s, people didn't want a telephone. They said, if I want to speak to someone, I'll go walk down the street to my neighbor's house. So men have invested in so many industries. There were thousands of telephone companies in the late 1800s. See, all these are examples of starting at the bottom. Starting at the bottom doesn't necessarily mean you have to be digging a ditch. But women are unwilling to make all those investments. Sorry, go ahead.
What you're right, and it was two in particular, Ted. I think it was that Nikola Tesla and oh my God, and the other man that come up with the Westinghouse generator.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yes, sir. Them two, the alternating current and the DC current. I get them two dudes mixed up all the time, but both of those two industries don't flourish.
Edison wanted DC, Tesla wanted AC. Yeah,
right.
Edison, he failed at with DC, right? So that was and he put a lot of money into that, and he failed.
That's right. But my point was look at how the industry is flaring now, though.
Of course, but they started at the bottom, right? They started when there was nothing. Even electricity, people rejected it at first. They were afraid their house would catch on fire. John D. Rockefeller ran a lot of negative publicity or propaganda to discourage people from putting electricity in their houses because he was making money selling kerosene. That's how people lit up their houses. They put kerosene in a jar and in a wick, and they light it up. So electricity in a house was taking business from Rockefeller. So people were afraid. He was running all kinds of ads showing your house on fire. But then eventually his kerosene business was cut down to almost nothing.
Hey, Ted, that's a fantastic thing that you're saying there, because the two things that I ferret out of what you're saying is competition and promotion. And
right.
I think women should dig the ditches. I mean, you know, look, when I drive around the city, various cities, I see guys out there in holes, and they say for every 8 hours that consists of a workday, a man dies. He's buried, electrocuted, something on the job.
Right.
Something like 97% of workplace injuries and deaths, both of them are in the 90%, occur against men. So I think women should be out there digging ditches. See, look, if we exempt women, and Ted, you made a beautiful point. I mean, that was such a striking point, and I'm not kidding. Because you were saying that most of the fight of women resulted from their being bored. Men made it too easy. The washing machines, the dishwashers, the vacuum cleaners, the dryers. They had nothing to do. They were out burning their bras, right? Men have made it too easy. So I want to see them digging ditches. That makes them appreciate the one who can do it better. That makes them appreciate them more. But remember this. I was reading an article not long ago. It was a medical article about how long the human body can last. In other words, in the workforce. Men's bodies break down too. Don't forget that.
Absolutely.
Men who are out there doing those, like what you call manual labor jobs, and those jobs are always essential. I mean, you see a guy pushing a broom behind a backhoe or whatever, or you see guys actually in the hole digging, because there are things of finesse that have to be done that the machinery can't do. So you have to have a human being doing it. So I differ with you on the fact that you said women don't have to dig ditches. No, I want them to dig ditches. Some women I mean, that's the level that they're at. They need to dig ditches. They need to understand what that means. Men need to stop exempting women from reality.
But they should do it in their own companies. Let them have women-only construction companies and go out and bid on projects with women digging ditches. And
I would agree with that. I would agree, but that's not going to work because listen to what we're saying. Listen to what we're saying. That's not going to work for several reasons. Number one, women are not competent enough to do it. Okay, that's number one. And that would run afoul of our laws because our laws don't allow, especially large workplaces, to make those kind of distinctions.
But here's my observation, Mr. Rich.
But you're not going to see women with any company of any size and of any duration. Go ahead, sir.
But here's my observation, though, Mr. Rich. Now, but when Ted make another point, when you do take away the conveniences, you scare people and you put them in the dog, Mr. Rich. Now, all that social structure and anarchy and all that, you know, this store is going to run amok when you know what I'm saying, when stuff really break down. So I'm trying to grasp in my mind the scenario of like you were talking about these women with these companies and things in a situation like that.
Are you speaking to me or Ted?
You in particular.
Okay, I'm sorry. Say it again. I'm working while I'm talking, but go ahead. What did you say?
What I was saying was I'm trying to grasp hold to the seriousness of you was talking about those women in those company type of CEO positions. If and when you know the grid goes down or we put in a stuff hitting the fan type of situation. Then who coming to these women? Hey, you see what I'm saying? That's basically what I was asking you. Will it be
the men are going to come to the aid? Because if you do a breakdown, and I think Mr. Kevin Samuels did a breakdown on it, less than 10% of women are in the power grid operation. Now, I worked in that particular industry for shore power to ships on large ships, carriers, and this kind of thing, which is tantamount to a small city. And basically you find zero women in those positions, not because they don't beg women to come in those positions, they just don't want to work in those positions. And so it's always men, select men, that are going to come to the rescue. And like I said earlier, I think a lot of men are ignorant to how important men are. Because they've civilized the world so well to we don't see the things that men really do that are absolutely vital. If you look at the situation in Texas recently when you had that
that
breakdown of the power. Okay.
Yes,
go ahead.
I'm with you. I'm just agreeing with you.
Hey, okay. We have a bad connection, I guess, a little bit. But no, see, men are totally running the power plants. And in our modern society, as you, I'm sure you know, everything is dependent on the power. Say women who are on dialysis machines. If the power grid went down and only women had to bring it back online. See, women think they could go to the computers and pull up the information and bring it back online. But guess what? The computers are down too because they require power to run. They would have to go to the library, get the hard copies, and by the time they did that, just as Mr. Samuels pointed out, women would be dead. Because it would take women I don't think they would ever get it back online, personally, because they are represented in too small a percentage of power production and power plant production. I think it's like, it's 10%, and that's generous. So 100% of our power is basically supplied by 90% men. Are you there?
Oh, yes, sir. I follow.
10% sounds very high.
I know.
I'm
being generous. I know 2% of the people who supply our food, 2% do that, again, with the creations of men. I was reading, I like to watch that heavy equipment. There was a combine that cost $1 million. Now, those things are GPS controlled. I mean, they're air conditioned. They're very comfortable. All men, all male built. And that allows 2% of the population. What do we have, 360 million people? We feed more than 360 million because we actually export a lot of grain. So you have 2% of the population feeding
the masses.
A lot of people.
Yes, sir. They feeding the masses. Let's just say it like that.
Yeah, maybe a couple of billion. Maybe a few billion people. But that's all the result of male ingenuity. And if we even said, forget about women being the creative aspect of everything it takes to run our society, let's just talk about maintenance. Women, you know, and I like women. I love women. Don't get me wrong. And I hate to have to even have to say that. But this is a fight that men are going to have to win. And everything women use, everything, is dependent on male creation and male maintenance. And when you hear a woman disrespecting a man, it's like no one has really told her how vital and valuable men are. It's the house she lives in, the heat she uses, the food, the water, everything she uses is male produced, and that's serious shit.
Hey, well, here's the question that I ask a lot of women. I ask this question. I say, around the world, every civilization has been built by men. Men, they build roads, the manufacturing machines, they do mining, agriculture, and they do all these things for women they will never, ever meet. Like the men who built the roads, the Brooklyn Bridge, they never met all the women who will cross it. Not even a fraction, not even like 0.1%. So men are doing these things to make life easier and safer for women. So I ask women, what do women do to make life easier for men? And you really just get crickets. And it's so there's a lack of honoring men as being men, and a thing that it's really what you're saying, Richard, is not really understand what's required to do all the things that we do. And so if men are out, and that's not even counting the men who die in the military to make sure women are safe or the police force, our society, men have allowed women to not have to do anything to offset the work and I hate to say sacrifice, but what men put their lives on the line to make life easier for women, and in return, there's nothing except entitlement, as though, well, you should be doing that anyway. Who cares? Like, I've heard women say, what do you want, an applause? Doing all these and so as men, we accept that. We don't hold women to a higher standard, and we justify and say, well, women have it hard, and they have to have babies. And all, like, listen, don't have any children. If it's that rough, don't build bridges for us. And we can keep our women, you know, living in huts and washing clothes in a river.
See, but Mr. Richard make an interesting point, though. You just let, I don't know Mr. Richard, maybe. Give me a number. I'm just going to throw an educated guess out there. maybe 100,000 utility men going up that pole, servicing these substations, making sure the electricity going through all these different neighborhoods across this nation. If those dudes would have said they ain't gonna get up and maintain the substations and the, these are utility poles carrying the electricity, they don't tell them where this country be right now. Just think about that. If they would decide they just want to go home and sit down.
That's right.
I don't think people even consider them men, because everybody can't go up that pole and mess with that juice.
Yeah. Well,
I'm scared just thinking about it, just going up that pole.
And Richard, I lived in countries. I lived in villages where women still washed clothes in a river. So I know what it's like to be in those environments.
Absolutely. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, good, because I had to improvise here. Go on. I'm enjoying the conversation when I'm not participating.
Yeah. No. I women have lots of conveniences. The real question, the theme of the show was, could women survive without men? Could civilization survive without men?
Civilization would crumble. It would crumble to you without men. I'm just telling you the honest to God truth. That's just my opinion now, but men built everything just about so.
Right. So
it'll fail to you.
In a woman's mind, let's say they inherit everything. Let's say all men, you left the United States tomorrow. Monday morning, we all packed up because women didn't want us here, and we just leave, and they get to have the whole nation to themselves. What would happen?
They would follow the men. hey, now, okay, they can talk shit as long as shit can be talked, but let me tell you, the vast majority of them, I think someone talked about those follower camps. Or camp followers, it's one way. I looked it up. Again, I heard Kevin Samuels talking about it, and I was vaguely familiar with it. But you've heard of that, the camp followers who would follow the military, and some of them would supply. But also the men in the military, their wives and families would also make up the camp followers. So just to answer the question, if
sure.
men left, the shit-talking women, for the most part, would be in tow. Let's just put it that way.
So you think...
See, they know the real deal.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. They're not going to admit to it until they are absolutely forced to admit it. But if men left, Ted, those women would be in tow.
I think that's your primary theme, is that men need to understand how valuable they are.
Yes, sir.
And like you say, a lot of them are ignorant to their fact. They don't even realize how valuable they really are.
And that's the gap. So we're living in a gap where men have been convinced that they're not valuable, and women say they're more valuable. Well, you know, they were taught to compete with us and told they can do whatever we can do. And up to now, they haven't proved they can do everything we can do. I mean, even you, Richard, talked about they got women up to 75% of men. 75% is still 75%. That's not 100. And how long could they sustain 75%? Could they sustain it as long as men?
Oh, you're talking about the upper body strength?
Right.
Yeah, but see, the point is, though, Ted, and this is the point that I make by pointing that out, that's sufficient to do virtually anything efficiently that needs to be done. You're always going to have men as outliers who are hyper achievers.
Right.
That's good. That's good. me put this in bold print, but we really don't need that. We're glad we have it. We're glad we have men who can perform at this hyper level, but we don't need it. So what I'm saying is, again, women can be taught to perform everything that's necessary. They can be taught to do it, and they can do it, but they don't do it because they don't have to. Men will do it.
Richard, technically, we need those hyper-performers because they are the ones who create a new bar. See, we'd still be believing the mile can't be running under 4 minutes. There's so many things that we wouldn't be doing because we would think it's impossible. We do need those people. We need outliers to set new standards, and they do that. You're familiar with Six Sigma, right? In corporations where they use Six Sigma?
I'm sorry. Say it again, please.
Are you familiar with something called Six Sigma in corporations?
I'm not. It doesn't come to mind immediate. Go ahead and explain.
Well, it was started in, you know who Deming is, Edward Deming?
Oh, yes, I do.
So Deming is, they say, really the father of that. When they sent him to Japan after World War II.
Right, in Japan.
Right, and so it's about reducing the imperfections in manufacturing. So as opposed to having 50 imperfect things out of 1,000, Deming was like trying to get it down to zero. You know, so how do we get it down to zero or one or two? So for every 1,000 widgets you produce, you only have one or two imperfections as opposed to 50 the way it was before. But that takes an outlier to say this is possible. Otherwise, we just accept standards as they are. So Six Sigma is a training philosophy in companies, and they've gone beyond manufacturing. You know, if you're in an office and it takes 19 steps to get your job done, well, let's see if we can get it down to 12 or 7. And so it ends up taking jobs out, taking inefficiencies out of operations. So it always, we need those outliers is really a point I'm making. I don't want to make a too big of a deal out of that, but outliers, men who are outliers are completely necessary for us to advance.
Right, right. No, I get what you're saying, and I'm not in disagreement with that. All I'm saying is I was speaking to a doctor friend of mine, and his position was, well, when you brought up the fact, what did I say? They brought women up to, I think it was close to 80% of the upper body strength of men. And this was with 16 weeks of training. Okay. What I'm saying is if they were operating at that level, we wouldn't be having this conversation. You follow me?
So then they could be out there doing the things that men do because they can operate.
Exactly. They would be doing it, and they would be doing it efficiently. Now,
right.
In terms of getting things in an ever increasing at an ever increasing level of expertise, yes, I get it. We need the outliers, but I'm saying at the same time, without the outliers, we would still have a damn good life. And if women operated at that level, this conversation would be moot.
Okay. Because they'd be out there doing it. Got it. Any closing thoughts, guys? I think we've kind of exhausted this topic. But yeah, we all get the point. What would happen if without masculinity? So you know, we're told about toxic masculinity and how being a man is negative, and men have been shamed for being masculine. So that's the society we live in today.
But here's the problem, though, T. they not shaming these bad toxic dudes displaying masculinity. They trying to shame the whole notion of masculinity, period.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So we've had masculinity, men being shamed for being masculine. That's sort of the headline that keeps getting pumped, and they're pumping it into the brains of little boys in school. So boys are being taught to be ashamed to be masculine. So what would happen to society if masculinity left? Whether we literally got up and left, or men became just completely feminized. So what are your closing remarks on it? That's where we started with the theme.
Well, Ted, it would be a fool's errand for that to happen, because these very women don't really mean it. It's just something that can be played in convenience. And as I've heard it said, these are first world issues. And as you very well know, Ted, you said you lived in countries where women were still washing clothes in the river, beating them on rocks and this sort of thing.
Exactly.
See, it goes right back to what we were talking about earlier. Women need to be held accountable and to live up to the very standards that they have. Now, they're never going to do it themselves. They don't have to. It would be foolish to expect them to do this, knowing that they're women. But as I said earlier, men can start with holding women responsible for dates, asking for dates, and also paying for dates. I think those are the two areas that every man who is serious about this, having women be accountable, that can be the starting point. Some of these other things are going to have to be worked out later, you know, in the courts and in society at large. But every man on an individual basis can start to individually hold women accountable for dates and for paying for dates, asking for dates and paying for dates.
Right, you're responsible for what they want. That's being responsible for an outcome, what you're saying.
Exactly, yes.
So I think it's Sweden. I was researching dating in other countries. Sweden, I think it's automatically Dutch that you pay for your own. No man pays for a woman's date.
In Sweden?
I think it was Sweden. I'm pretty sure it was Sweden. Yes.
I'll look that up. That sounds interesting because, see, Ted, and I'll just wrap it up with this. Very good conversation, by the way. I think that's an area that women get away with murder, is shifting that responsibility on a man that's not hers. She's automatically taking his property, his time, and that's just not right. And men are going to have to just buck up and understand how they're being played and stop the madness, because it is madness. It shouldn't even be a gender war. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah, well, men are going to have to also see their contribution to it.
Yes, sir.
And if someone asked, is abuse learned? That's a good question. That's a good question. Are children born automatically abusing other children? I'm going to say most likely it is learned behavior. Most
yes,
likely
they taught that. Yeah, because you didn't come out the womb knowing that you had to be taught that.
Right. So final thoughts, Kendrick?
Final thoughts, Ted. Women really need men more than they think they do. And I don't know, I really don't know the end game to that brother, that gentleman, Richard was saying about this whole gender war thing. But ain't no gender war thing with me, Ted. It's, the buck stops with me. I believe it's an individual thing, Ted.
Okay, good. So here's what I think. I've had this conversation with women that if you separated men and women and they had no contact, men would survive until the last man dies of old age. Women wouldn't make it for 50 years. Women would die out. And having that conversation with women, but I think men need to have more realistic conversations with women about what happens in this world they live in and how much of a life of leisure they have. And I'm not comparing it to 200 years ago. I'm just saying women have a life of leisure, and they've fought a choice to not have to work like men, but they want the opportunity of outcome like you were saying. And I think it might be too, they say it's the most egalitarian country in the world. And even though they give women the same opportunities as men, women will not take like a lot of the investment banking, the science. They don't take these really abstract. Women like working in healthcare, and that's the case here even in the U.S. So, and men don't condemn women for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't want to be penalized because we don't feel comfortable working in the same capacity. They don't want to dig ditches. They don't want to work for sanitation. They don't want to be on the oil rig. So men are going to have to, and I like what you say, Richard, the whole dating thing, make them earn that. A woman that you're actually in a relationship, I'll take us down a whole nother path. I don't want to do that. But men need to reevaluate dating and relationships and being financially responsible and making sure women understand that there's something they have to be responsible for in return. Men are not willing to pay for sex as a transaction. Otherwise, that alters the relationship, and that's very different.
Right. Well, go back to what you said, okay. Men need to start going back to qualifying these women.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
just be so quick to hop in the bed with something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
start
guys,
really qualifying these women.
That a lot of guys don't they have never been taught to do that. So from where they're standing, it looks impossible, and that's a problem.
Some of them, you know, they so quick to. All I guess, like you said, is learn. All they want to do is jump bone instead of be talking about, like you say, be serious. So,
hey, Ted, you just pointed out what Bear Grylls, the island, showed. Yeah, we need women for reproduction currently. I don't know if man will be able to develop a way like an artificial uterus or womb.
They already have